President Trump, as a supporter who voted for you three times, I am hoping and praying that you will revisit what Barack Obama and Joe Biden got rid of back in 2013, which is the Smith-Mundt Act, which held news corporations accountable for lying to the American people and spreading propaganda instead of truth. I think instead of bringing it back as a Smith-Mundt Act, you name it the Charlie Kirk Act, you make it a law, and you make it damn near impossible for these people to continue to lie to the American public, which has brought chaos, hatred, division, and anarchy all across this country.
The Smith-Mundt Act was twisted 13 years ago by Manchurian candidate Barack Obama into a tool to foment a color revolution in the United States. Back in 1948, President Harry S. Truman signed the Smith-Mundt Act into law, a Cold War era move to counter Soviet propaganda with a global charm offensive. The State Department was tasked with painting a picture of the U.S. as the land of the free, sending students, scholars, and professionals overseas to build bridges and showcase our way of life.
The United States is trying to get the Washington view of the crisis to the Iranian people through the voice of America.
But here's the caveat that continues to fly under the radar when it comes to the Smith-Mundt Act. The act explicitly banned government-produced materials from being distributed domestically. Why? To protect the American people from being fed state propaganda and to keep the domestic media industry from getting steamrolled by the whims of lobbyists and the madness of politicians. And more importantly, but apparently not a concern at the time, to protect the First Amendment rights and organic consensus from an intelligence department swaying Americans toward total mind control and rapid decline. Truman had signed the National Security Act of 1947 into law, which had also created the CIA. Truman created a monster, but the Smith-Mundt Act was a leash, whether they knew it or not. The modernization allowed the State Department and the Broadcasting Board of Governors, now rebranded as the U.S. Agency for Global Media, to make their foreign-targeted materials, like videos, audio, and films, available inside the U.S. upon request, including through FOIA demands and online platforms. But the floodgates had been opened, and the safeguards are now as flimsy as a paper wall in a hurricane.
Very simply, Obama gave it a reboot in 2012. So, no matter how outrageous the propaganda may be, it's completely legal.
Propaganda, in other words, a false narrative for whatever specific purpose, is now much, much easier to perpetrate on the people.
This modernization didn't just make government content accessible. It unleashed a torrent of psychological warfare that's been weaponized by the mainstream media, creating a feedback loop of division and radicalization.
So when we say Donald Trump is a fascist, fascism, a huge component of fascism, is uniting racism, bigotry, a form of racist nationalism.
This is, we are now living in a fascist dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. And we are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. We're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government.
59 million mentally ill Americans, folks already struggling with anxiety, depression, or worse, who no longer have a mental health care system because it was gutted by progressive failures, being bombarded with carefully curated messages that amplify fear, distrust, and outrage. The mainstream media, already a battleground for corporate agendas, appealing to the organic demands of an American audience, gets outflanked by government-backed content, pitting neighbor against neighbor in a cultural civil war. And where does this lead?
Take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and wow, our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Beat the whirlwind and you will pay the price.
We have to keep our eye on the war, and everybody needs to pick up a weapon and get involved, because this is for the safety and lasting of the country.
The modernization of Smith-Mundt has fueled a pipeline of radical ideas.
Go to theolliveshowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life, 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum of the Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best. You've heard about Methylene Blue, well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best IRC Moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? Just another giant discount up of everything. You want to get the bovine colostrum, ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. We have the best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com.
Taking over the American Journal, and I'm very excited that you guys are all with me today. You know, we've got some big news, some big changes happening here at InfoWars, and I'm very excited to join the team. As many of you guys know, I was a regular guest here. I filled in every now and then, and now I'm officially hosting this program, and I'm very excited that you guys are all joining me. A lot happening throughout the country, throughout the world, and we're going to be covering on this show. But if it's your first time meeting me, let me just tell you, hello, welcome. My name, Brianna Morello, and I am an independent journalist who ventured away from the corporate media narrative to bring you what you've probably seen over these last few years. I break all the stories the corporate media doesn't want to tell you about, and I am very proud to do so. And that's what this program's going to be all about, doing deep dives into my reports, as well as opinion, because, folks, I've got a lot of things that I want to sound off on, and that is what we're going to be doing here on the American Journal. But folks, it's been a very, very sad last few days. As many of you guys know, Charlie Kirk was assassinated by a far left activist, is what it looks like right now. And we've just been gutted these last few days. There's no other way to say it. Just watching it, watching the footage, trying to understand why someone would do something as egregious as what has happened to Charlie Kirk. It's really hard for us to wrap our minds around because we aren't far left terrorists. We are loving Americans who love those who we don't even agree with politically. We don't wish death upon our enemies. We wish them the very best. We could have these types of discussions without pulling a trigger because, folks, we believe in a God. We believe in consequences and we believe in having peaceful discussions. But after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, so many are now calling for there to be kind of peace talks. We need to be peaceful. We need unity. We don't need any either of that at this point. The left for far too long has gotten away with violence. They've burned down cities. They've shot at our president. And now they have successfully killed Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was the peacemaker. Charlie Kirk was the only one who wanted to sit there in their schools, have a discussion, and have an authentic debate. And what happened? Well, they called him nasty names. They vilified him. They made him look like he was not a human being. And it justified the actions for one individual to go out there and to shoot him. It's gut-wrenching to sit here and to talk about what took place that day because Charlie Kirk was just speaking. Charlie Kirk just wanted to talk to Americans. He wanted to save young people from the indoctrination that's going on right now in our schools, throughout our schools. He's someone who was able to speak to them. He started a movement that I've never seen before. And it's crazy because, as many of you guys know, I started over at Fox. And I remember seeing Charlie walking into the office, going up to the security desk over at our New York City office and checking. This was the very beginning phases of his career. And then to see what he was able to do is absolutely incredible. That man got President Trump reelected. He brought young people, new demographic that Republicans just fail to be able to even reach out to. He brought them to the table. The turning point events were amazing to watch. As many of you guys know, it looked like a party. And that's what he had to do to bring young people to the table for discussion. I remember being in high school, for example. I went to school in New York, and we were only really surrounded by liberal beliefs. We didn't have an alternative viewpoint. So for most of us, we only thought there was one side to all of this. But Charlie Kirk shows you that there's actually two sides to the debate. And so what happens? Well, they called him a bunch of nasty names, and they killed him. So now we're dealing with a lot. We are trying our very best to remember him. Obviously, he has two beautiful children and a wife who gave an absolutely incredible speech over the weekend. I don't know how she pulled it together to sit back and to watch what she did that night, to speak to the American people after the most devastating thing that I've ever witnessed took place. It was incredible to watch her. I don't even know how anyone watched did not cry. It was touching. It was incredible to see her speak out. But the best part was, is she didn't call for unity. See, time and time again, those on the right love to use these events to call for unity. They think there's some level of reason across the aisle at this point. They don't realize we're battling communists. We're battling communists. People who cheered when Charlie Kirk died. There's not a single person on the left that I would cheer for if they were killed. Not a single person. I don't hate anyone that much. And so for us to sit back, watch, to see what happened that day, for even Democrats in Congress who couldn't pull it together for just one moment to say a prayer or have a moment of silence, whatever they prefer, because a lot of them are atheists, well, they couldn't do that either. They had to speak out, get nasty, and do what they always do. They're trash. They're trash human beings. We don't have much in common with them. And I hate doing that. I hate sitting here and telling you they're not our friends anymore. They've completely abandoned American values, but that's what's happening here. So while others sit there and tell you that we need a call for peace, I'm here to say, listen, don't get violent, obviously, but we're not going to sit here and be soft anymore. We're not going to sit here and pretend like we have allies across the aisle anymore, because we don't. We don't. There's a very small amount of people who are level-headed within the Democratic Party, and I feel bad for Americans who don't really have conservative values and kind of were old-school Democrats but don't know where to go because the Democratic Party has been conquered by communists. And we're going to talk about that throughout this show today because there's a lot going on. President Trump's even calling it out, which I'm so thankful for. He just said earlier this morning, and we're going to talk about that too today. But the reality of it is enough is enough. I mean, how many times are we going to sit here and pretend like the people who are supposed to be our fellow Americans have great intentions? Again, there's not a single person who I would celebrate if they were killed on the left. You at home too. We don't like these people, but we don't wish ill upon them. And that's the difference between both sides these days. So no, we're not going to sit here and pretend like Charlie Kirk deserved what happened to him that day, because that's what the media is telling you. They continue to call him an activist. They continue to sit there and say that his rhetoric triggered so many. Freedom of speech doesn't come with limitations. Freedom of speech means you could say what you want, because we live in a free country. That's what it's supposed to mean. Doesn't mean you take a bullet to the neck because some left-wing nut job didn't like what you had to say. We have terrorists popping up all over this country right now. And for far too long, and I'm going to do a deep dive into this, because for far too long, our country has looked the other way. We've allowed them to burn down our cities back in 2020. I don't even know how this White House, under Trump, back in 2020, allowed that to happen. We're playing footsie with these terrorists. And what was the result? Well, your city's burned. Small businesses were absolutely destroyed. And they heard the message. Those people know they can get away with whatever they want. So they continue to act like animals. Charlie Kirk was assassinated in front of the entire country. And how many American cities burned? The answer is none. Because we're not animals. They are. So as we continue to go through all of this and we continue to do these deep dives and talk about this, I want you to remember that there is a massive difference between the left and the right. The left are terrorists. They have allowed this. They won't condemn this. They will continue to support this and say that it's okay because Charlie Kirk said some mean things that they didn't like. But if you ask them to pull up the clip, they can't pull it up for you. They actually can't even tell you what he said, because all they did, like the sheep that they are, is sit at home, watch the TV, watch their phones, and regurgitate what they were told by some left-wing hack pretending to be a journalist. Charlie Kirk didn't deserve to die. His children did not deserve to see that. His wife didn't deserve to be a single mother. That man believed in family. He said it was the most important thing for any young person to do was to start a family. And they took that away from him. Now, thankfully, he's a man of faith. And so we know where Charlie Kirk is right now. But for his daughter, for his son, for his wife, they're going to be left to pick up the pieces. It was absolutely devastating to listen to Erica talk. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe her strength. To pull it together, to not do that fake unity call, and then to look the camera in the eye and tell her husband's enemies, the ones that had him killed, that she's coming for them. That's a powerful woman. That's probably a woman that every man in this country wants besides them. Because at this point, that is the type of woman who will go to war for you when your enemies come for you. That's what every woman should be achieving when it comes to a marriage. Fighting for your husband, even when he's been taken. It's gut-wrenching, but we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're not going to sit here and give you the fluff, tell you you defy with the left. Those days are over. Those days are over. How many times are you going to continue to poke a beast and then just hope that they play footsie with you? It's so enraging. It's so frustrating, and we're done with it. And there's a lot of things going on in this country that have me deeply concerned. Number one, I'm deeply concerned when I look at the FBI and what's going on, because the FBI is touting the arrest of the suspect in Charlie Kirk's assassination as a big success. But the reality of it is, I don't think that's the case. Because we're hearing all these reports of Kash Patel going to dinner, that's the FBI director, going out to dinner on Thursday, I believe it was, in New York City. We're also hearing reports that from the New York Times, which normally I wouldn't cite, but the New York Times saying that the image, when I was calling this out, I'm like, how do we not have a surveillance image of this guy? It's 2025. There's a camera everywhere you turn. Well, apparently, according to the New York Times, FBI agents had his image 12 hours before giving it over to the FBI director. Why is that? Well, we're going to talk about that today with Ken Silva, because, folks, I'm telling you, what's going on right now in the FBI is egregious. And I don't 100% want to hold it against Kash Patel or the deputy director, Dan Bongino, only because I know that they were set up to fail because the regime intentionally put their critical left-wing pieces in strategical places. And it's going to be extremely hard to purge them all out. But everyone who sat there and decided to hold back that surveillance footage needs to be gone. It was so easy for the left to put whistleblowers on unpaid suspension. I covered that extensively. Our FBI whistleblowers were put on unpaid suspension for years. Harassed. Their families were harassed. Because they decided to come forward and report corruption. Well, why aren't we doing that? They wrote the rules to this game. We're not coming up with anything ourselves. They had no problem going after Americans and targeting them. They had no problem going after the FBI agents who just simply blew the whistle legally on the corruption. So we're not going to sit here and pretend like this is something that's brand new, like this hasn't been done before. This has been done before. They wrote the rules to this game. Start playing it. So we're going to talk about that later today because it's infuriating. I mean, I can't believe if the reports are true, I cannot believe that the FBI director was actually having dinner. I didn't eat for days after I saw that video. I couldn't stand to eat. But it's strange because, you know, Patel and Kirk were friends. So I don't know. I'm hoping the reports are false. But again, we don't 100% know. What we do know, though, is Kash Patel is going to be speaking on the Hill later this week, I believe on Tuesday and Wednesday. So we're going to have to hold his feet to the fire a little bit, because while they're claiming this is a victory and they caught the suspect, the reality is, yeah, they caught him, but they only caught him because his father turned him in. Doesn't sound like a victory to me. And for over 12 hours, we didn't see a surveillance image of this individual. And the only reason why the father turned him in was because he saw his image, according to reports, and recognized it as his son. And I don't know how you guys feel about the father right now, because I think it takes a lot for a father to turn his kid in. knowing that your child is going to be facing death. Utah going after the death penalty in this case. I think that's very noble of the father to do. And according to reports, this is a Republican family. This is a family with Republican values. This is just one stray kid. And so I don't understand how it gets this far, how it gets this bad. Because, like, I have people in my family, we don't agree with politics, but they would never in a million years get to this level. They just tell me to shut up. They just tell me I muted you on Twitter. But they don't get that bad. So how does it even happen? There's a lot of Discord chats, too, we're going to be talking about as well, because I think that's interesting in itself. But so many people are telling you that Charlie Kirk, because he's a man of faith, wouldn't support the death penalty in this case. Well, I hate to tell you, Charlie Kirk was asked multiple times about the death penalty and whether or not he supported it. And thankfully, we have the tapes. Let's take a listen.
You already came up.
Yeah. Ron DeSantis recently came out in advocating of right. the death penalty for people who, for illegal immigrants specifically, who rape children.
Yes, I'm in favor of that. Thank you.
You're in favor of illegal immigrants. I'm sorry. You're in favor of the death penalty?
Yes. Yeah. You've already asked the question.
Okay, but as a Christian or a Catholic, whatever you are and your wife is, you don't necessarily believe in that.
Well, of course I do.
Why? No. Because the Ten Commandments specifically say thou shalt not kill. Right, so who are we to judge individuals?
Do you really want to do this?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because
is the only law that is in all five books of the Torah, and name the five books of the Torah?
I read the Torah a long time ago.
Five books of the Torah. Okay. I gave you a chance to get out, and you're not getting out now.
Well,
name
no.
them.
Well,
name
the
one
thing,
book
though.
Of the Torah.
Here's the thing, though.
Name one.
You
can Genesis,
you
Exodus, Leviticus,
that.
Numbers, Deuteronomy. Hold on.
When you give the
time
government
out. What is the only law that is repeated?
People,
what is the only law
the
that is repeated?
Has the government not abused its power? Has the government not abused its power?
Second, let me finish. Because you brought up religion. What is the only law that is repeated in all five books of the Bible? The only law.
What is it?
That you shall take a life if a life is taken. Why? It is the only law.
Because it also says turn the other cheek.
Hold on a second. Not in the Torah. We're talking about the Torah.
No. Okay, but I don't believe in the Torah specifically.
Well, hold on.
I'm Christian.
Yes, you do.
You're
making a fool of yourself, man. Christ said, I did not come to eliminate the laws of the prophets, but instead to fulfill the laws of the prophets.
Okay.
The covenant remains correct. All 613 laws of Judaism are connected to today of today's Christianity. And this is important. In Hebrew, is it kill or murder?
In Hebrew, I believe it's kill.
Wrong. It is thou shall not murder. The word kill.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
in the Ten Commandments. Is it thou shall not murder or thou shall not kill? No, it's thou shall not murder.
Okay,
is a completely different Hebrew word.
Well, if you want to talk about Hebrew words,
hold on a second.
In the breath of life rather than soul.
Hold on a second. First of all, it says repeatedly that I knew you before you were in the womb. Christ jumped in Mary's belly when it was next to John the Baptist in Luke 1. You're going in many different directions, but where in Christianity, in any of the 66 books of the Bible, please tell me, does it forbid taking a life when another person kills? Where does it forbid that?
Thou shalt not cast stone if you haven't sinned.
Okay, again, that actually it doesn't say that when it comes to murder. First of all, that was...
But you haven't really had that moment. I mean...
In John 8, what I was talking about, was when Jesus interceded with the Pharisees that were trying to issue the death penalty against the prostitute.
Yes.
Said to the individual, let the first among you cast the first stone. At the end of John 8, he says what? He says, and then go forward and sin no more. That is still not a prohibition on the government itself issuing the death penalty, and that is not a life taking a life.
Well, why would he stop them from doing it?
Well, because she didn't take a life. First of all, what he was doing is interceding with mercy because he's God and not us.
I don't necessarily,
doing a
certain I don't
teaching.
Necessarily
agree However, with that. However, it's very important though. Isn't it insulting to the person who is killed to allow the person who killed them to keep on living? Basically what you're saying is that the person who killed them's life is more important.
I genuinely do not think that Jesus Christ, if he was here now in today's era, he would be like, kill the person.
Okay, no, this is interesting. Let me ask you three questions. Is Jesus God?
Jesus is God.
But then God told us for a life for a life.
What do you mean?
Okay, you believe in the Trinity.
Yes,
everything God
Trinity.
Said, Jesus said, everything the Spirit said, Jesus said. It's
Correct.
All one
yeah,
God,
all
right?
God.
So God said repeatedly, if there is a life taken, you shall take a life. Says it in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
I don't have to go up on that, but you're talking about Hebrew, right? So do you believe in a soul?
Well, yeah, yes.
Do you believe in a soul? Okay, so what happens is the Bible specifically says in Hebrew, God gave you the breath of life, not the soul. Right?
On.
So do you believe that there's a different thing, or that when we die, we go into the grave, into the ground, and we don't come back out from that?
First of all, you're quoting a scripture in Exodus that says that that the breath is
That's
in life.
In Genesis.
In Exodus. It also says in the book of Leviticus that life is in the blood. It also says in 1 Samuel and also in 2 Kings that I knew you right. before you were in the womb. I don't want to get too deep in this. We're losing right. the audience. But I'll just say this. It is of course justifiable from a Christian lens that in a judicial standpoint, a justice standpoint, if someone were to commit murder, that you will receive what you yourself did.
But
that
is called
justice.
I disagree.
All right,
that.
So let me ask you a question. What should we do then to someone who shoots up a school and kills 20 kids? What is a just punishment?
I don't think giving the government the ability to kill somebody is proper.
Hold on,
because they will abuse it.
Interesting.
At some point.
So, but if you give the government the ability to lock them up for the rest of their life?
Yeah.
Why?
I think that is fair, though.
That's still punishment, though.
But you're giving the government the ability to kill people the same way that they could lock you in your house for 2 years when there was COVID and all that. Is the same exact way that they can use
something against. You just said it's okay to lock up a school shooter for the rest of
their
life.
Yeah, but not innocent people who didn't want to take a vaccine. Come on.
Well, of course, one is convicted by the jury of their peers, and one is the mass imprisonment of an entire population.
So
we'll get to another question.
I
thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks.
Charlie Kirk had the very difficult job of having to debate that. It's common sense. It makes sense what Charlie's trying to argue, and sadly, college students aren't highly educated, and they lack a sense of common sense, but he didn't shy away from the discussion. So now we have this message from Charlie, and the message is very, very clear. For those who planned my assassination, for those who carried out my assassination, they need to suffer from these same consequences. They need to die. The death penalty is the only solution here, folks. And I really don't want to see a plea agreement. I hope we don't see a plea agreement here. According to the FBI director, there's DNA. That's great. We need it to happen quick, though. I'm not waiting 20 years for this. We shouldn't be waiting 20 years for this. This individual decided to go about killing Charlie Kirk in the most brutal way possible. These people are evil. They're evil. And I'm so fed up with seeing people on death row get chance after chance, dragging on for 2-3 decades. Your victim didn't get that opportunity. That coward that shot him from over 200 yards away could have made his way over to the microphone. If he really hated Charlie Kirk enough, he could have owned him by debating him, having that discussion. But he's a coward. He's a coward. He decided to shoot him from a rooftop. Low-life liberal hacks. That's what we're working with here, folks. It's so frustrating because it's all linked to the rise of communism throughout our country right now. We are seeing a drastic... They love to lie about it, too. They'll tell you socialist. They'll give you, like, nice, fluffy liberal... No, they're communists. They're communists. And there used to be a point where we'd call it out, we'd embarrass these people, and we'd have them living in fear. But that doesn't happen anymore. We're hoping the president of the United States turns things around for this country because we cannot sit here and pretend like unity is the solution. Now, again, we're not calling for violence, but we sure as hell are not calling for unity. We have a lot to discuss on today's show. I'm very excited that you guys are here. It is my very first edition of American Journal. I know you guys are probably very sad to see Harrison Smith go, but good news, you catch him on War Room. He is taking over there, and it's going to be a good one. I know he's filling in today for Alex Jones, and I'm looking forward to that, but you can catch him every day on War Room. That man deserves it. He deserves that gig. We're very excited for him, of course. I'm very excited that you're joining me today. We've got a lot to dive into. Ken Silva joining us in just a few moments to break down all of the missteps with the FBI after the Charlie Kirk assassination, so do not go anywhere. We've got a lot more to dive into.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Here's the deal. We are winning in court. We're defeating the Democrats. We're defeating their law firms. All this powerful stuff's happening. I can tell you they are under criminal investigation by the DOJ. And the DOJ is not just looking at this to play games, okay? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to be gone for a few days here. I'll just leave it at that. So there's a lot going on. But we are literally maxed out in the bills and what's going on, because 80% of the funding goes into legal, because we are suing them and depositions and just constant warfare and filings and just, I mean, we are winning. I mean, I'm in a battle, but I'm running out of ammo. Go to theallishowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum. Of the ultramethylene blue, the very best. You've heard about methylene blue, well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best Irish Sea Moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. I have so many friends and family that are chronically sick and stuff. Even though they didn't take the shots, they got it shedded on them, and they take the other two big blood cleaner things that were the highest certified put out by scientists. We just got with formulators and combined both formulas together, so it's like a horse pill. This is hands down the best. And just for general cardiovascular health, you need it. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. It's all there, limited time, thealexjonesstore.com. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? So you spend $75.01, suddenly your bill is $65. Got it? Just another giant discount off of everything. But you really want to get the ultramethylene blue. You want to get the bovine colostrum. Ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. Don't know about bovine colostrum. It is the superfood nutrient. Hottest thing for a decade now. Ultra hot. The hottest thing. We have the best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. But this is only running, they're telling me, until next Monday, maybe Tuesday, because the bovine colostrum is selling out. The capsules for methylene blue is selling out. The Shilajit gummies are selling out. The Irish Sea Moss capsules are selling out. And so a lot of these won't be available just in the next few days. So take advantage of it now. But I'm telling you, you think your information is powerful? You want to get the ultramethylene blue. Consult your physician before you take it. It's powerful. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen what's happened. This is hands down the most incredible thing I've ever taken. I took other methylene blue before. I didn't really feel it because it wasn't medical grade. This does it. This is it. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Thank you for joining me on my very first edition of the American Journal as the new host. I'm very excited that you guys are joining me today. There's a lot we're going to talk about, especially when it comes to the FBI, because the FBI, although we see new faces leading the agency, there's a lot of issues internally, and we're learning through reports that it's not what we think it is. Now, as many of you guys know, President Trump and the FBI Director Kash Patel were celebrating catching the individual, or I shouldn't say celebrating, we'll just say that they were very excited to announce that they had caught the individual responsible for Charlie Kirk's assassination. And they spoke about it highly. But, folks, it's important to note that they didn't actually catch him. He actually was turned in by his father. And there was multiple suspects, as they kind of described it, which was so strange,
who they brought to the front and said, oh yeah, we caught the person who shot Charlie Kirk. Well, according to ex-fact checkers, that was false. And that actually came from the FBI director himself. His Twitter account said that they believe that they caught the individual who had been responsible, the subject is what they use, a specific term, for shooting Charlie Kirk. Now, that's strange because they didn't have the shooter in custody. How did the FBI director not know that? Did he just jump the gun on that front? But it's not the first time the FBI director has done that. Actually, I've been biting my lip on something because I caught him doing something else that was very egregious. A week before the FBI whistleblowers settled their cases with the agency, he came out and said that they had reached an agreement. So I saw a tweet and I went digging for it. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. The director just said they're bringing back the whistleblowers? That's exciting news. So I went, called some folks that I know who are FBI whistleblowers. They were clueless that there was a settlement agreement. Probably would need them for a settlement agreement. So and then I took it a step further and I contacted their attorney. And their attorney was in a rush saying, I can't talk right now. We're on the other line with the DOJ. So they were still in negotiations when the FBI director told you that they had settled their lawsuits, their claims, and they were being reinstated. Apparently, that wasn't the case. A week later, we knew it was official, though. But why did he jump the gun and report that before it was even official? So we've caught him twice now doing that. It's not supposed to happen. When you're the FBI director, I shouldn't have to fact check you. I should take whatever statement you give us and say this is what's going on at the agency. But that wasn't the case. So it's very unfortunate that this is going on right now, but it's not the only things that have us scratching our heads. Thankfully, Kash Patel is going to make his way both tomorrow and Wednesday, and he's going to have to speak on Capitol Hill for congressional hearings. And I hope they ask him these questions because there's reports going around right now. And again, I don't like to trust the mainstream media, but I haven't seen anyone debunking it yet. One of those reports, which I hope comes up tomorrow for the congressional hearing, one of those reports was from the New York Times. The New York Times saying that Kash Patel and Deputy Director Dan Bongino on a call ripped some of the agents. It was a call with about 200 people on the line for withholding the surveillance images of Charlie Kirk's assassin. They withheld it for up to 12 hours. That's according to the New York Times. And then it gets worse. The Daily Mail was out here saying that the director was out to dinner in New York City. I couldn't eat for days after seeing what we saw. Now, earlier today, Patel did make his way to Fox News, and he spoke up about the case and the FBI's role in all of this. Let's take a listen.
We flexed all resources the FBI had and surged multiple air assets as soon as this shooting occurred. We were cycling in agents, evidence response technicians, hostage rescue technicians, and special operators in and out of Utah, cycling evidence back and forth on these FBI planes as soon as we could so that there was no delay. And what we did, once I got there, along with the deputy on the ground, around 5 p.m. local on September 11th, was walk the entire crime scene, including the foots the suspect himself took. And what we learned was there was evidence, DNA evidence, that could be collected and had been collected, including a screwdriver that was found on the rooftop. Also, we went over to the scene in the wooded area where the firearm was discarded, and the firearm had a towel wrapped around it. It's important. I'll get back to that later. I even walked into the wooded area in the ravine, so I knew from my investigative experience what I could bring to the table and what decisions I needed to make. And having the support of President Trump and the full support of the White House was what we needed for these resources to happen. And I can report today that the DNA hits from the towel that was wrapped around the firearm and the DNA on the screwdriver are positively processed for the suspect in custody.
All right, that's good news. Good news, something we could all get behind, obviously. But why did they withhold images for up to 12 hours? Why was the director out to dinner? There's a lot we're going to dive into today, and I'm not doing it alone. Let's welcome to the show Ken Silva. He is the great reporter, editor over at Headline USA, and he does all of the document diving that every other mainstream journalist refuses to do, and he is with us now. Ken, thank you for jumping on with us today. I'm very excited to have you on the program. We just heard from the FBI director, and he's walking us through what his role in all of this was, but the reports are contradicting. It sounds like, according to Daily Mail, it was at the dinner in New York City, and according to New York Times, that his own agents were withholding evidence from him. So what is the very latest, and what do you make of all of this?
Well, it's great to be here. And not only was he out to dinner, apparently this is a 5-star restaurant. It's called Rouse. And I guess you have to like know the owner. You have to really be connected in order to get a table. So it's not like he went out to Applebee's just to get some quick wings before he hits the New York field office again. I think it's important to note that. Right before I jumped on, I was also watching Cash's interview with Fox and Friends, and he brought up another interesting thing that raises questions. He says that the suspect, Tyler Robinson, left a note that said, yes, I'm planning to kill Kirk if you read this. However, that note was apparently destroyed, and Cash said they were able to confirm the note through, quote, aggressive interview posture, with which I'm reading that as to say, you know, we have a destroyed, shredded up piece of paper or a burnt piece of paper, but somebody told us what it says. So I don't think that is going to stand up in court. I think he's trying to get some good PR before the congressional hearings this week. To his credit, he does say that releasing the photos of the suspect is what prompted the family members to question Tyler if he was the actual shooter. But to me, this isn't like 200 IQ police detective work. Like, releasing a wanted poster is kind of like hundreds of years old law enforcement practice. So if his subordinates were pushing against releasing the poster that or releasing the pictures, then I guess good for him for making like the obvious decision. But I don't think he should be getting, you know, applauded for doing something that a 10-year-old could have, you know, told him to do.
Yeah, Ken, I think they're overstepping, they're overstating what actually happened. And I get it, like, and I want to be as kind as possible because I understand that there was a personal relationship here with both the director and Charlie. And so I don't want to sound cruel, but it's really hard to wrap my mind around all of this and then to pretend like this was an efficient investigation. If it wasn't for the father who turned his own son in, I don't think we'd be where we are today because it didn't seem like they really kind of had a good grasp on all of this. I mean, they're shuffling through individuals who the director labeled as the subjects in all of this, and it in fact wasn't. I believe it was the governor also coming out and saying, hey guys, like, stop going after that guy because he's not a suspect. He had no involvement in this. We just wanted to question him. And that poor individual is probably getting threats like crazy. So I think it's irresponsible for the director to do. But then also on the other side of this, I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of people in the FBI who don't like Director Patel. They don't like President Trump. Mm-hmm. So one would think that they might be actually intentionally sandbagging him to fail. And so I think that's another element to all of this. I wanted to ask you about the Discord chat because I think that's the big one here too, because Discord itself is saying that there was no planning that was done on their platform, and they're saying that what sounds like with confidence, but we're hearing from law enforcement that there's a lot of questionable things that were sent over Discord. And it's interesting because Discord has been used in other shootings, other terrorist attacks domestically. So that it's kind of easy to understand how this would be happening on this platform, but the company's saying it didn't. So what's the latest on that front too?
Sure. And so, yeah, Discord has been used for discussing, glorifying mass shootings, school shootings. There's these dark groups like 764. It doesn't appear that Tyler was in something like that. From what I've read, this was a group of about 20 people, including his supposed boyfriend, that Lance Twiggs guy, a number of high school friends. And what happened here is after the FBI released photos of the suspect, some of Tyler's friends were joking, like, Tyler, is that you, LOL? And he doesn't admit it. He kind of is going along with the joke, saying, I read the bullets had inscribings with anti-fascist messages. I better pick up that rifle and get rid of my manifesto, LOL. So it's like not an admission. It's hard to tell exactly what's going on. Like the younger kids are kind of ironic about everything. And then I think he, at one point he jokes like, well, if you guys get the reward, the $100,000 for turning me in, let me get a cut of that. And actually, I think Charlie Kirk faked his own death so he could escape politics and go to Kansas. So it's a bunch of joking around. I don't know if this evidence, like the supposed note he left, I don't think this is going to hold up in court. I think you could argue that he's joking. The interesting thing is that Discord even denies it, from what I read on their official statement, they denied that this took place on their platform. But New York Times said that it reviewed these Discord messages from one of Tyler's friends who showed it to a reporter. So again, there's contradictory messages. The FBI and Discord both have more explaining to do.
Yeah. And can you follow a lot of these types of cases where Discord's used? It's being used, quite frankly, by a lot of left wing groups. And it's also being used by, we talked to Alex Rosen quite often. It's being used by pedophiles. And so it's interesting to hear whether or not it's being used in this latest terrorist attack. But there's also the left-wing attachment to all of this. Now, we're hearing from the New York Post that there's neighbors who are alleging that there was kind of these strange cars going in and out of the parking lot from different states of where this suspect lived. What's the very latest on the angle regarding any type of left-wing, radical left-wing groups that were linked to the suspect?
You know, I've seen a lot of screenshots where there people are implying this is some sort of trans death cult. I'm sure a lot of people on Twitter have seen the screenshots, like on September 10th, people are saying, oh, something big's going to happen today. September 3rd, oh, something's going to happen to Charlie. I haven't been able to confirm any of those. In fact, I think kind of what people need to realize here, though, is Discord has become heavily monitored by the FBI. I mean, one of the most notorious mass shootings was the 2022 Top shooting, in which a white supremacist named Peyton Gendron live streamed a shooting at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, where he killed 10 black people. And immediately after that, he had a manifesto about the so-called great replacement theory. And people blamed Tucker Carlson, talking about white replacement. Oh, you must have radicalized this kid. We had a lot of talks about so-called stochastic terrorism. But the real scandal in that shooting was that when Peyton Gendron put a link to his live video for the shooting in a Discord channel, one of the people who accessed it was a, quote, retired federal agent. And this was reported by the Buffalo News several months later. They reported that the FBI was investigating one of their retired agents, like, oh, what were you doing talking or live stream or watching this live stream and not warning authorities? Of course, we never heard about it again. I actually filed a FOIA 2 years ago to try to get the interview reports of this retired agent, and they confirmed to me that the interview did take place and the reports do exist, but they declined to provide them, citing an ongoing investigation, which I'm sure you know is a tactic that they always employ. Fast forward a couple years, and we've got this 19-year-old National Air Guardsman, Jack Teixeira, who leaks a bunch of top secret war documents about what's going on in Ukraine, including that the U.S., the Biden administration, was spying on Zelensky, that we actually had troops on the ground there when we said we didn't. He leaked this on a Discord channel that was called, like, Thug Shaker Central, which I think is a reference to some weird gay porn video. Again, these kids are, like, heavily ironic. And the upshot of that, though, the reason I'm mentioning this is because after that, the Biden administration announced that they were going to partner, like the FBI and other intelligence agencies were going to partner with Discord to heavily monitor these chats to make sure these things aren't going on. So while a lot of people are wondering, well, was this chat room, was like this radical leftism? Was this like 7-6-4 theme nihilism? My mind always goes to foreknowledge. Were there informants in the chat? Was the FBI monitoring these chat rooms in some other fashion? These are the questions that I don't think Cash will be asked at the congressional hearings, but people need to be asking about this. Like, what did the FBI know? Did any other intelligence agency have this chat room monitored?
Yeah, and it's so hard to believe that our government didn't know about this. I just can't believe that. We're so heavily surveilled. It's kind of difficult for me to wrap my mind around the fact that this individual acted alone and didn't do so on the FBI's radar. Because they know, they always say the line, sadly, after a terrorist attack, that this person was on their radar. I don't think they want us to hear that anymore. Because at this point, it's the agency's notorious for that. So we'll continue to follow that as it unravels. But, you know, Ken, I wanted to direct our audience to something else that's been going on, and I don't think we're paying it enough attention. But you, sir, are. I'm talking about the second assassination attempt against President Trump's life. That suspect is right now on his criminal trial, Ryan Roth. His daughter now speaking out, and you sent me the interview, and it blew my mind, the level of stupidity here. But I want our audience to have to marinate in this as well. So let's take a listen.
Despite the fact that he is on trial for allegedly attempting to shoot and kill Donald Trump last year, Sarah Ruth tells me that her father, Ryan Ruth, is a kind and gentle man who has never hurt anyone and who believes in the simple things in life.
I just want the world to know who my dad is for who he is and not for what the media has painted him out to be.
Sarah Ruth says her father, Ryan Ruth, is a loving father who spent his life helping others and doing good for the community.
I mean, like, he's never wronged anybody. He's always been devoted to helping other people, and he doesn't understand why there's not more support out there.
Well, I mean, he is on trial for allegedly attempting to assassinate a presidential candidate, which most people would say is not a good, kind, or gentle thing.
Yeah, no comment on that.
Sarah did not want to say anything about her dad's defense strategy or the state's case that Ruth allegedly planned to kill Donald Trump and set in a sniper's nest with a semi-automatic rifle before being spotted by a Secret Service agent. She does say she supports him 100%. She's been in court every day and calls him every night in jail, where he prepares for another day of representing himself, which Sarah says is not going well. She calls it bullying.
They shut down every time he tries to say anything. And maybe he's not saying it right, but he's trying to say what he's trying to get his point across, but he can't get that far. Mm-hmm. He gets shut down before he even gets to explain it. Mm-hmm. So it's really frustrating for us to watch.
Sarah's brother, Oren Ruth, is slated to testify in his father's behalf. Sarah says she's just trying to be there for her dad.
What do you hope to come out of this trial? You can look right at Terry.
Yeah. Obviously, I hope my dad comes home. But we'll see.
Okay, so good on the reporter for grilling her on that a little bit, because the level of stupidity from that woman is pretty jarring in itself. But she thinks it's the media's fault that they have been vilifying her father, even though the media hasn't even been covering the case. Yeah. What's the very latest on this? Because so many people are looking the other way, and he's representing himself right now in court.
Yeah, and I think the crazy thing to me is they said that the prosecution plans to rest this week, and this trial was originally supposed to go till early October. And so it looks like the prosecution feels like they have an open and shut case. The evidence is overwhelming, and Ryan Ruth isn't doing himself any favors. I think in his opening statement, he starts rambling about Hitler and Gaza and all these different issues that have nothing to do with the case on hand. And so Judge Cannon shut him down, saying like, hey, you can't do this. They already settled this in pretrial proceedings where he's not allowed to argue that I'm justified to attempt to kill Trump because he's a bad guy. That's not a defense he's allowed to use. He's tried arguing other things like, oh, my attempt was some kind of First Amendment expression. Like, he needs a lawyer. This is really bad because he might have been able to make some sort of case based on the FBI tainting evidence. I mean, they took apart the rifle. They were heavily suggestive to a witness who saw Ruth saying, hey, this is Ruth, right? This is the guy. So if he had good lawyers, he might have some sort of case. I do feel bad for the daughter a little bit. She makes a somewhat point about the judge keeps shutting them down. I guess you could let them talk. But the idea that Ruth is a good guy, according to the daughter, it just isn't supported by any amount of evidence. I mean, let's even set aside his Trump assassination attempt. I covered his son's trial for possessing a child sex abuse material. And at that trial, we learned that Ruth Ryan was actually heavily abusive towards the son and the wife. He is a serial cheater, which is why the family split apart and is probably why Oren ended up, you know, kind of a messed up kid. And at one point we heard that Ryan Ruth kicked his son down the steps. He would give him like 20 books to read. And if Oren didn't read them all right away, he would really berate his intelligence. So just didn't seem like a good family guy. Of course, I've talked to you on previous shows about his long criminal record, 2002, possessing explosives. 2010, he's running this criminal enterprise where he would have his construction company go to sites, scope them out where he was hired to do work. And then later that night, he would send in crackheads to rob the places and come bring them the stuff, and he would sell it for money. So this guy is a career criminal. And one thing I haven't mentioned, like the most tragic element of the entire assassination attempt is that after, so he was hiding in the bushes, a Secret Service agent spots him, the agent fired five times, missed all five times, but, you know, Ruth runs away, gets in his Nissan Xterra, and he's later pulled over on the I-95 in Florida about 45 minutes later. During that traffic stop, you know, all the traffic's backed up, and this poor lady didn't stop in time, and she runs into the backup traffic. She had her daughter in the car. The daughter was seriously injured, had went into a coma. And a couple months later, the last thing I've seen on that case is like they were, the therapists were trying to like reboot her brain. It appears that this poor little sweet 5-year-old girl is going to be mentally handicapped for the rest of her life because of Ruth's insane criminal antics. So I give this guy no quarter. In fact, the more I study Ryan Ruth compared to the Butler shooter, Thomas Crooks, the more sympathetic I am to Thomas. I think he was like a sweet kid who some either went crazy or got groomed to do that. While Ryan Ruth, I have absolutely no sympathy. I think he's a total narcissist who just wants to do this for fame. He has like an overblown opinion of himself. So I feel like he thinks he could give some kind of impassioned speech, like this is a movie to the jury and he's going to win the day. I have a feeling he's going to be up for a rude awakening. And I don't know if he knows that he's going to not a fun place. He's probably going to spend the rest of his life in a Supermax, a communications management unit. And that's like hell on earth. So I hope he enjoys his last couple weeks of being able to speak about this, because it's not going to end well.
Yeah, it's not going to end well for him, and it doesn't sound like it's going well at all. Ken, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing. I'm going to read a story later on in the program that you have up right now over at HeadlineUSA.com. It's a great one about more failures from our FBI. Give Ken a follow on X, folks. He has all the stories the media is never going to tell you about, so that's where you're going to want to go. Everyone's taking content from Ken, because he's so amazing, and we'd love to have him on this show. Ken, thank you as always. We appreciate it.
Yep.
A lot more.
I'll see you
in
Valhalla.
Oh, gosh.
Go to theolivestonestore.com and experience these products like Ultramethylene Blue. It will change your life. It will be so empowering for you. And then you'll be hooked and keep buying it so we can stay on the air and expand, which is my plan in the face of all these globalist attacks. So I'm announcing this on Tuesday, September 9th. We're only running this till next Tuesday. It is a giant, multifaceted sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best medical grade quality out there. The rave reviews are insane. Such good energy, such clarity, such focus. No letdown. 50% off. Same thing for the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the detox super empowering system for your cardiovascular system. Ultimate Life Force. Everybody should be taking this. It's the best formula out there, made from the two top best-selling formulas fused together. You need it. It is amazing. Just get it. Know you're supporting the broadcast so you can't lose, and then you'll be pleasantly invigorated, not surprised, I don't BS, when you get great benefits. But what you really feel quick and see the fastest is Ultramethylene Blue. There's also another big sale going until next Tuesday. That's the Get Free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. When you spend $75 or more at checkout, $10 is taken off. So if you spend $75
when you check out at 65 on top of all the discounts. 25% off store-wide, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. The ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it. That's 25% off, and then $10 off at checkout on top of that. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates to keep this broadcast on the air, and I don't own it, soon they shut down InfoWars. That's our sponsor with the Alex Jones Network and what comes after. So we need the funds. They're incredible products. The only way you fail is not taking action. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Edition as your new host, and I'm very excited that you are with me today. A lot going on in the world, and we're just diving into so many of these incredible stories that are coming out. And as you just heard, we spoke with Ken Silva over at HeadlineUSA.com, and that man's got so many incredible stories that he's working on that the mainstream media just turns another eye to. This one that I saw on his X page was quite jarring. It has to do with the FBI and meth. The FBI apparently burned 2 pounds of meth inside of an animal shelter. This is the part that really gets me infuriated. Poisoning little kittens and workers because they failed to turn on a vent. Now, this apparently happened at a Montana animal shelter. And Ken's the only one really talking about this. Again, another failure from the FBI. Now, thankfully, it looks like no one lost their lives, speaking of kittens too. It looks like that's the case. It says that both the kittens were saved and the employees were rushed to the hospital. Again, though, I mean, how does that even happen in the first place? It's pretty insane. It's pretty insane. But as someone who's had to deal with the FBI these last few years, I can tell you, it's likely. Because the reality of it is they are just poorly trained, unfortunately, and you know, there's a lot of people who shouldn't be there at the agency. And I'm actually thankful that Director Patel and Dan Bongino, according to reports, they can't confirm it because it's personal information. But according to reports, they're purging a lot of the people out of these agencies that have really just been promoted for DEI purposes and are politically biased. And so that's one of the good things happening right now over at the FBI that I think it's important to highlight. We see all these reports coming out, even in Utah. Sadly, after the Charlie Kirk assassination, there were so many individuals coming out and they were infuriated because they were saying that the Utah field office was dealing with multiple firings. And so they were poorly staffed. But the reality of it is that field office was responsible for killing a man who allegedly made threats online, and they showed up to his home and gunned him down and dragged him to the street. I believe that was in 2022. Craig Robinson was his name. Still looking for the evidence on that, of course. I wanted to see why it was the FBI that went to his home rather than Secret Service, who normally carries those types of investigations out. For years now, I've been asking through FOIA requests for the evidence that this man was armed, because although FBI agents don't wear body cameras, the local sheriff's office was there, and I was hoping to see something from them. Unfortunately, though, they claim, like you heard Ken say, ongoing investigation. They can't hand any of that over, even under this current FBI. I keep reapplying. I have a list of FOIA requests that get denied, and then I just keep reapplying. And I hope at some point someone breaks and gives me something, because you need to know. But folks, when they sit here and they talk about all the firings going on at the agency, there's a reason for it. They're not firing their most efficient employees. They're firing the worst of the worst. And unfortunately, there's due process here, so they can't just toss them all on the first day. So it is a long, tedious process. But I mean, I know Dan Bongino knows what he's doing when it comes to that. He's been talking about it on the radio, on podcasts for years, and so he knows what he's doing. We've got a lot to purge over at the FBI, and we're just getting our feet wet on that front. Folks, in case you didn't know right now, over at thealexjonesstore.com, we're doing something incredible. We are doing a fundraiser right now for Charlie Kirk. A portion of the proceeds raised from the Charlie Kirk fundraiser T-shirt are actually going to be donated to Turning Point. When you head on over right now, it's an extended sale also going on, so now is the perfect time over at thealexjonesstore.com.
you're going to get $10 off of your orders. 10% is going to be the total cost is really what you're getting off of it. And it's extended sale goes on right now. We're also, when you subscribe, you get up to 50% off the best-selling supplements when you choose to auto ship. Auto ship is the best way to go. You know how many times you don't realize that you're out of something until you're at the end of the bottle and it's too late? Get it auto ship. That's what we all do. I do it all the time. It is the best way to go about this because life is too chaotic and crazy. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. That sale extended for an extra day, but it won't last forever. And of course, we have an incredible fundraiser going on right now. Head on over and support.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Excited that you guys are here today. We've got a lot going on, and it was a very last week was just very depressing, let's be honest. And we are now digging through all of the facts to kind of learn as to how the assassination against Charlie Kirk even happened in the first place. It's hard to wrap your mind around. I mean, I've been waking up thinking that this was all just a really bad dream, and it's not, unfortunately. This is the reality. We have far left-wing terrorists living in this country right now. And we have to crack down on this. This was a very serious issue, unfortunately, that has not been taken very seriously. And Charlie Kirk, I mean, according to the president, one of his last discussions was blowing the whistle on how egregious these far left wing organizations were getting and how the president, the federal government needed to get a grip and go after them. Unfortunately, Charlie paid the ultimate consequence in all of this with his life. Now, although we all know where Charlie is now, it should have never happened in the first place. It shouldn't have happened in the first place. And it's egregious. It's infuriating. But we're learning more and more about the groups this individual may have been associated with. Again, these are just reports. We're not really getting much in the way of, I haven't seen much in the way of transparency at this point. You know, we're seeing press conferences where they're saying there was Discord chats, the Discord saying there were no chats. We're also seeing leaks being leaked to both the New York Post and Daily Mail, which has been enlightening. But again, I can't 100% say with confidence because it's just the report, whether these things are true or not. Joining me to discuss is Viva Fry. He is an incredible host over on Rumble. He's a great show that he does every single day. He's also a former litigator, and he is with us now. Viva, I'm excited to have you on today's program, my friend. A lot going on in the world, and it's been a very sad last few days, given the fact that we lost the incredible Charlie Kirk. I just want to take a moment before we dive into the topics for today, for you to reflect on Charlie. I know I had the honor of meeting him once at the RNC inside the Rumble studio, and he seemed like an incredible person, but I didn't know him closely. I know so many people are coming out and talking about how he used to send them scripture all the time, that he was just an inspirational person. But your reaction to both who he was and the legacy he leaves behind?
Well, I knew him less well than others, but I knew him well enough. I mean, I'd been on his show a few times over a few years. I'd known him for a few years. You know, they had to pick someone who's, I say, innocent in the sense of pure. They're trying to do everything they can in their power to demonize him retroactively, to make it seem as though somehow it's either morally justified for these psychopaths or not a tragedy because. And you have people now, you know, they called him a bigot, a racist, all of the words they use to describe people who are Christian and proud Christians for, you know, the better part of a decade. and then act all shocked and surprised as how something like this happens. But they have to and had to pick someone innocent and pure in a spiritual sense in order for it to have the impact that it has had. Picking on people who are loathed in media universally or bipartisanly, it wouldn't have been the same shocking impact as this. And in the wake of it's like, you know, Robert Barnes and I were talking about it last night during our show. There's three levels of shock, you know, how it could happen. I forget what the third one was, the second one was, but the third one was the public reaction to this. It's repulsive. It's abhorrent. It's not civilized nation responses. It is animal responses from people who are, it's one thing to engage in vitriol on Twitter and then the internet. People do it. It's the internet culture, you know, GKYS is something you see all the time. It's, you know, people say it all the time on the internet. It's another thing to actually post your, I'm looking at these ugly faces.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. It's like, it's another thing. It's one thing to say, like, you know, go FYS on Twitter. Go G key, you know, go kill yourself. It's one of the tropes. It's another thing to post videos as though this wasn't a human, as though this wasn't a man, a father, a son, a brother, and as though this man was the equivalent of Hitler. I mean, it is what happens in the mind of a demented individual when they equate silence to violence, when they equate words to violence. Well, then you get to fight silence and words with violence, and it's morally justified in your unhinged head. And the amount of people, reasonable people who I know directly, like this is not just abstract avatars, real people, real faces in social circles, it's abhorrent. And I don't know what it takes for a society to take a step back. These people have taken so many steps forward. There is no backing down from having rejoiced in the assassination of a peaceful man only speaking words. There's no backing down from that. So all those people need to be remembered and need to be avoided and shunned. But there are a lot of them, and it's really, really despairing to see the amount of rejoicing psychopaths on this earth, on campuses, on social media, on Facebook, on Blue Sky, rejoicing in this as though it was Osama bin Laden. And even when it was Osama bin Laden, I'm going to go pull up my tweet from back. You don't rejoice in the fact that you even had to kill a terrorist. You say, okay, it was a necessary thing to do. You don't rejoice in murder unless you are a villainous psychopath. And we are witnessing a generation of villainous psychopaths on social media who think it's cutesy to bat their eyelashes and say, I'm so glad. It's psychotic, period. I don't know where it goes from here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing, too. I don't know where it goes from here either. You know, when his wife, Erica, got up and gave a speech, I don't even know how she was able to pull herself together, but I love the fact that she didn't give us the BS narrative of unifying after this, because so many times we hear this and we say we need to unify. But the reality is we've got so many people on the other side of this who don't want peace, who don't want to unify. They are thrilled with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and they don't even know why. They can't even tell you why they deemed him as a hateful person, why they call him a fascist. They don't have an example. They just regurgitate what they see on television, what the mainstream media has been telling them. And the fact that they have demonized him so badly that they're using that as a justification for what happened to him, it is just so disgusting. But that's the difference between the left and the right, because there's not a single person across the aisle that I would ever want to see get killed, to have to live with that. And from what it looks like, now again, I'm no expert, but my law enforcement friends who were experts said that it looked like Charlie Kirk had a bulletproof vest on underneath his shirt, and it may have actually shot upwards. Now again, that's speculation. We don't know. We're gonna have to wait to see the reports from that. But it just goes to show, if he was wearing a vest, how many threats he was actually receiving and how he knew this was dangerous, but he continued to do his job. This is someone who was also very outspoken on the issue, that he was receiving death threats from a lot of these far left groups, and it didn't stop him from going to these college campuses and looking these kids in the eye and just challenging their thoughts. I mean, this kid shot from 200 yards away, but he didn't want to get in front of the mic to have a discussion. I mean, that's how much of a coward he was. And so while we sit here and we talk about all of this, it's just so difficult for me to understand why they feel like it's justifiable what happened. You know, I found someone's Instagram account. She's a former Miss Fort Worth in Texas, and she was actually saying that she loved the suspect, and she was proud that he did what he did because she deemed that Charlie Kirk was somehow a fascist and that he was a hateful person. And so she used the words, I love you. And so I reached out to Miss Texas for comment on this and spoke to the executive director, who said she's former, she's no longer with us. But then I took it a step further and posted it online. and she nuked her accounts. Now, normally I wouldn't do that. Normally I would say that we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't attack people and oust them like this. But the left has done it for so many years. They did it to me when I was voicing my concerns about the BLM riots and how it was, you know, linked to Marxism. And they went after me. They went after my family. People don't agree with me politically, my family. They went after them. And so now they're telling us that it's not okay to do what we're doing. Now it's not okay for us to call, whether it's a nurse, a teacher, it's unfair for us to call their employer and out them for what they're posting on social media. But they've been doing this for far too long. What's your take on that?
Well, the don't resort to their tactics. It isn't. So I don't even concede that it's their tactics. A nurse celebrating death is not a nurse I want treating me ever. Even if the nurse said, I'm not going to treat someone who someone might think is my ideological enemy, I don't trust them. They are a menace to society. And not in the sense that violence should be inflicted upon them, in the sense that know who they are and avoid them. A nurse or a doctor, anyone in a position of power, someone in the military saying, I support this, they are menaces to the very Constitution in the military sense, and they are menaces to their oath in the medical sense. This is not cancel culture to say that if you support and promote domestic terrorism, you should lose your job. It's employment contract law on the one hand. You imagine having an employee at your employee who supports domestic terrorism? A, they're a threat to the immediate environment that you work in because it's only a matter of time before they decide that their violence against you might be warranted or their theft against your stuff might be warranted. They are a menace to society. And it's not canceling someone for a 10-year-old edgy tweet that was a racist joke at the time. This is terminating their employment and putting them on blast for actively promoting domestic terrorism in real time. We should have gotten a little wind of this, and many of us, including myself, did, when they were praising Luigi Mangione, and you had the Bill Burrs of the world out there saying, no, it's righteous to kill him because we've decided extrajudicially that the CEO was responsible for the deaths of people, therefore his murder is warranted. People should have taken a hint from that, idolizing Luigi Mangione like he's such a hunk. This is a generation of people who have been, first of all, the last 5 years, dissociated from other humans, where humans are reduced to avatars on a screen, characters in some Grand Theft Auto game. The mental manipulation over the last 5 years, but social media dehumanization over the last decade plus, the signs are there. The signs were there. You have people who think it's cool to be a murderous psychopath. And not in the, you know, back in the day, when it was Charlie Manson and you had a handful of girls who wanted to marry him and thought he was so cute and, oh, he's such a bad boy, murderer. Now it's a generation that have been conditioned by basic torture porn is what it is. You know, it's reflected in social media. It's reflected in horror movies and it's reflected in the desensitization to people not understanding Charlie Kirk was not a social media figure. He was not a character in a play. He was a real human, and whether you found his words shocking or not, if you found them shocking, you know, grow a pair and grow a spine, whether you found his words shocking or not, this is never justified. And the equivocation, well, there's violence on both sides. Bullshit that there's violence on both sides. Nobody celebrated when Paul Pelosi got hit in the head with a hammer. People might have made some crass jokes, A, after he survived, and B, because they might have suspected it was a lover's quarrel and not the so-called political violence the left tried to make it out to be. Nobody celebrated when the Minnesota lawmakers were murdered. Nobody. And they say, well, but that was a Trump supporter. Well, no, nobody celebrated it, but not everybody believes it was a Trump supporter. And so, and nobody celebrated when Joe Biden got diagnosed with dementia. So they make these lies to try to justify their own evil and without recognizing their own evil. Unequivocal condemnation. That's it. This is atrocious. This is domestic terrorism. No buts. No, your side did something. No, you made some mean tweets. Period. And until you see that, there's nothing to discuss.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a difference too. You know, if I saw something online and it was questionable, we were celebrating the death or the attack. Remember when the Paul Pelosi thing happened, I did call out someone who was, taking light out of all of it. And I did personally call them out. So that's the difference, because when we see something that egregious, we are not afraid to call it out because we shouldn't be celebrating any of this. We should not be acting like this is acceptable behavior. It's not. It's not. And we demand more from our side, at least. I wanted to talk. Yeah, Eva.
So, I mean, people looked at that and said that this was not political violence by a Trump supporter. First of all, David DePop is a Canadian Green Party card carrying, you know, in terms of politics, mm-hmm. Who is a nudist and I would say, you know, a lefty whack job. But Nobody celebrated the violence. They just questioned whether or not it was a Trump supporter political violence, which I honestly don't believe it was. Not that it makes it any less egregious. People questioned how there was an absence of security at Paul Pelosi's home. Nobody celebrated it, and anybody who might have, because you can find some, you know, quacks on the internet, prominent voices didn't support that because it's not what the right does. And it's the internet meme for how the left sits there screaming, we want you dead. And the right sits there saying, I'll pray for you. Like that's the meme. The meme is not the inverse.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a difference. I mean, it's true. And Viva, I wanted to get your take on what can Congress do next? Because, you know, I've been talking about this forever. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene put forward legislation, H.R. 26, that would declare that Antifa is a domestic terrorist organization, and it would allow the government to do more on combating them. And for some reason, this has been sitting. This was filed again back in January of 2025. She also did this, I believe, under President Trump's first term, and it just seems to fall flat. And I know the president supports it because I found his tweet back in 2020 where he also wanted to do just that. But for some reason, Congress is dragging their feet. Now, the only reason I would probably assume that they're going to be continuing to drag their feet at this point is because they fear these groups, because otherwise there's no other reason to do it. I mean, I think most Americans see what they're doing in Portland, what they're doing in other cities all across the country, what they've done since 2020, and what they're doing abroad is extremely dangerous. Journalists can't even go to cover these violent protests, because they always call them protests, but they're not protests in the sense that you and I both understand. But what can Congress do? Because they seem to be sitting on this and not pushing forward with calling these far left groups terrorists.
Well, what's ironic now that Joe Biden's out of office is that the Democrats laid the blueprint for what can be done. They just happened to have done it against people who didn't deserve it, which were the Jan Sixers, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers. You know, people in Canada, Justin Trudeau designated the Proud Boys a terrorist organization. I don't know what act of violence they ever carried out in Canada. I don't think any Canadian had ever heard of them before they were designated a terrorist organization. But the Biden administration, the Biden DOJ, in as much as it was unlawfully weaponized against God-loving, patriotic citizens, gave the blueprint. What Biden had been did to the Jan Sixers to actual terror cells, which are actually organizing in Discord servers, in on social media platforms. Do what Biden did to the Jan Sixers. And it's not a question of creating a surveillance state. It's a question of just applying the laws that exist. So, you know, that's one easy step. Designate them a terrorist group, Antifa. Surveil and investigate. I would just hope that they don't entrap the way, you know, sometimes the FBI under the prior administration had been known to do in the Gretchen Whitmer case, in the Jan 6 case. Investigate, surveil, and apply existing laws. It's not complicated. But under the Biden administration, they set up no-go zones to facilitate criminality. And it's organized, it's structured, it's not an idea, as Joe Biden said, it's an actual organization with logos, communications, and use the law. Not abuse the law like the Biden administration did, just use the law. Whether or not we've come to that point, we might be getting close, that government should actually do something. But the government has not proven itself particularly good at doing things effectively in the history of governments.
Yeah. And, you know, I was a little relieved when I heard President Trump say that there are ongoing investigations regarding a lot of these groups that we're discussing right now. Let's play that soundbite, because I think that was very enlightening, and it brought me a lot of hope.
Well, the problem is on the left. If you look at the problem is on the left. It's not on the right, like some people like to say on the right. The problem we have is on the left. And when you look at the agitators, you look at the scum that speaks so badly of our country, the American flag burnings all over the place, that's the left. That's not the right.
Do you plan on investigating?
We'll see. We'll be announcing. They're already under investigation. You know, they're already under major investigation. A lot of the people that you would traditionally say are on the left.
They're already under investigation?
Already under investigation.
Have you asked to start revoking
the... All right, when it comes to RICO, this is a possibility, right?
Yeah, the question I would have follow up was already as in post-assassination or pre-assassination.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not besmirching the current FBI, and there's no but to that. Historically, there have been a great number of cases where the FBI might have been tailing the terrorist as he went to the Draw Muhammad thing that happened a while back. They might have been tailing him as it happened. There are a number of cases where the FBI had advanced knowledge of a number of things. Yeah, he was known to law enforcement. So were they investigating prior to the assassination, or is this new after and they're going to actually, you know, enforce the law?
Yeah, I think it's an important question to ask because, again, you know, and I was enraged when I saw it, but we sat there and watched as people like Bill Gates was sitting at the White House just, what was it, last week? And a lot of his donations have gone to these far left groups, I should say. And the reality of it is they all need to be investigated. I mean, the fact that Soros money is making its way into all of these groups and he is a foreigner and we should not be allowing this to happen is gut-wrenching because it is happening. But then when you see, you know, Zuckerberg sitting there and Bill Gates and, you know, the usual characters that we know are not our allies in this fight for freedom, they're sitting there. They got a seat at the White House. It's a bit enraging. How do we go after the funding in all of this? Because the funding is the key problem. Once the funding goes away, then these groups will slowly start to fall off, too.
Well, I mean, it was Cernovich, I think, was the first person I saw who made this observation. So I've got to give this credit of this bit of wisdom to Cernovich. Mike Cernovich said, investigate and defund these organizations. Soros, Open Borders, Open Society, sorry, not Open Borders. Investigate these activist organizations who are financing the upheaval. It's very easy. And whether or not RICO charges can originate from it, you know, investigate and defund, period. The government's, to some extent, the country's literally funding its own demise. And the outside forces who seek to destabilize, sovereign nations for the purposes of justifying a perpetual surveillance state, justifying a one world government. I mean, they have a clear agenda to this and they have a clear role in it. And so like Cernovich says, investigate them, RICO charges if warranted and defund and prosecute. Even if there's no RICO there, the level of corruption that exists that has never been explored, the surface has never been scratched. It's the joke, sort of. You scratch the surface with Adam Schiff, you find mortgage fraud. You scratch the surface with Lisa Cook, you find mortgage fraud. You scratch the surface with the Letitia James, the people who've been prosecuting the Republicans, you'll find the fraud. Scratch the surface on these corrupt organizations and you'll find the criminality. But it hasn't been done yet and the time is long overdue.
Yeah, it is long overdue. And I was hoping that this ball was rolling from day one. I was hoping that the DOJ had a blueprint on what they were going to be doing. Doesn't look to be the case, but again, we don't know 100%. Maybe there was something going on behind closed doors. Normally I do hear whispers, but I was not hearing any whispers on this front. So, we do hope that there is going to be some moves here because this is something that should be a top priority for this administration. They have been on the receiving end of a lot of this harassment, the abuse, the assaults, and so they need to crush this. Viva, I want to thank you for joining me today. You do an incredible job over on Rumble. So, folks, give him a follow there as well on X. It is a pleasure to have you on my very first American Journal hosting show. So thank you for being here with me, Sarah. I appreciate it as always.
Thank you for having me. You're doing a wonderful job, Brianna. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, folks. There's a lot going on in the world, and we're going to talk about it because you may have missed it. Steven Crowder broke an exclusive story last week in regards to what the ATF knew, what the federal government knew about the shooting. And they're not happy that he released it. One of his sources came forward and shared with them an email that was shared internally. And because there was so much information being suppressed, not put out there, that Louder with Crowder put it out there. Well, what's the result of that? Well, according to them, ATF called their attorneys and said that there's going to be a subpoena coming. Now, there's a long history of both this administration now and the previous administration and the administration before that administration targeting journalists. But I tell you guys all the time, if you're one of my sources, I'm going to jail to protect you. I will never let the government come after you. I will never give up my sources. And it's the same thing for Louder with Crowder. They're not backing down from this fight. I'll bring you the very latest in just a few moments. I just wanted to remind you folks, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. Because there's an incredible sale that's just been extended. You get $10 free when you spend $75. I mean, literally, you're going to want to head over there right now. They're also doing an incredible fundraiser for Charlie Kirk. Support, support, support. Also, make sure you sign up for that auto shipping. Because I'm telling you, I forget all the time that I'm out of my vitamins. And there's no better feeling than getting the package in the mail before you run out. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Here's the deal. We are winning in court. We're defeating the Democrats. We're defeating their law firms. All this powerful stuff's happening. I can tell you they are under criminal investigation by the DOJ. And the DOJ is not just looking at this to play games, okay? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to be gone for a few days here. I'll just leave it at that. So there's a lot going on. But we are literally maxed out in the bills and what's going on because 80% of the funding goes into legal because we are suing them and depositions and just constant warfare and filings and just, I mean, we are winning. I mean, I'm in a battle, but I'm running out of ammo. Go to theallishowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum. Of the ultramethylene blue, the very best. You've heard about methylene blue. Well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best IRC moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. I have so many friends and family that are chronically sick and stuff. Even though they didn't take the shots, they got it shedded on them. And they take the other two big blood cleaner things that were the highest certified put out by scientists. We just got with formulators and combined both formulas together. So it's like a horse pill. This is hands down the best. And just for general cardiovascular health, you need it. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. It's all there, limited time, thealexjonesstore.com. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? So you spend $75, $75.01, suddenly your bill is $65. Got it? Just another giant discount up of everything. But you really want to get the ultramethylene blue. You want to get the bovine colostrum. Ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. Don't know about bovine colostrum. It is the superfood nutrient. Hottest thing for a decade now. Ultra hot. The hottest thing. We have the best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. But this is only running, they're telling me, until next Monday, maybe Tuesday, because the bovine colostrum is selling out. The capsules from Ethylene Blue is selling out. The Shilajit gummies are selling out. The IRC Moss capsules are selling out. And so a lot of these won't be available just in the next few days. So take advantage of it now. But I'm telling you, if your information is powerful, you want to get the ultramethylene blue. Consult your physician before you take it. It's powerful. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen what's happened. This is hands down the most incredible thing I've ever taken. I took other methylene blue before. I didn't really feel it because it wasn't medical grade. This does it. This is it. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Changes around here. I am now the host of American Journal, and Harrison Smith, if you want to see him, he is now the host of The War Room. You're going to have to check him out there. Today, though, he's filling in for Alex Jones. So we got a lot going on here. We're a very, very busy team, but we're not the only ones busy these days. Our friends over at Lauterbach Crowder have been very busy themselves breaking stories regarding the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Now, listen, I don't trust the government. You don't trust the government. We shouldn't trust the government. You should ask questions, and there should be complete and full transparency. But it's not the case. It's not always like that. And they'll tell you it is, but it's not. They lie to you a lot. It doesn't matter who's running the machine. It just always seems to happen. So that's the reason why we have our next story, because my good friends over at Ladder with Crowder got them their hands on an exclusive. And it's a pretty impressive exclusive, given the fact that, folks, I mean, we weren't hearing much in the way of what the FBI was looking for in regards to the suspect in the Kirk shooting. And then Crowder got his hands on an internal email from an ATF source. And if you look at the email, it pretty much tells you what we now know to be true. It details where the firearm was retrieved. It also details that the bullets had different terms engraved in them. And that was something we didn't know about. Even after this email was made public, the FBI didn't tell us this on the press conference. They totally just missed, and even local police, they totally just missed the motive behind all of this. So again, independent journalists are what's going to save this country, because we are the fact checkers of these three-letter agencies and even local police. So what happens when you decide to publish a tip you receive regarding, obviously, a very high-profile case? Well, the ATF decided to reach out to Stephen Crowder's attorneys to let them know that they're going to be sending them a subpoena. Why, yes? Well, because they want to know who their source is. No, seriously, we're doing that in this administration. They're going to want to dig in to find out who was the individual that leaked that email to Crowder's team. Now, keep in mind, this wasn't a classified document, so there's really no crime here, but they want to know who let the media know. Folks, I tell you all the time, if you are my source, I will go to jail for you, because we don't give up sources. We protect sources. And that's the reality. I don't care who is in the White House. You have a story, you send it to me, you're a government employee, I'm going to bat for you. That is how we keep our administration transparent. So what's happening now? Well, we don't know. We don't have an update yet. We don't know if that subpoena has been issued. But I warned my audience that this is what was going to happen. And I think it's interesting, right? Because it's not just obviously now the Trump administration. This has been going on for a very long time, but they've gotten creative. I'm going to walk you through the long history of how whatever administration over these last nearly two decades has been doing strategically to go after journalists to find out who their sources are. Now, again, these weren't classified documents that were handed over to Crowder's team. So what are they fishing for? Well, they're fishing for the person who wanted to create government transparency. Probably somebody who was reading this and going, well, why is this information in the people's hands? Because you could help find the suspect. And we just told you, too, that the FBI withheld surveillance footage from their own bosses, according to the New York Times. 12 hours after they had the surveillance footage is when they decided to hand it over to their FBI director, Mr. Kash Patel. So you bet we're going to be holding their feet to the fire. And again, no one in the mainstream media probably would ever do this. They would definitely throw their sources under the bus. Most of them would. Most of them just report straight to the government. But independent journalists, no, we don't. So according to Ladder with Crowder, I mean, he says it all the time. Stephen Crowder says it all the time. He's going to go to bat for his sources. And we're happy. We're happy that, I mean, I'm kind of jealous, actually, that the ATF is going after them. What an honor it must be. Probably the highest honor. I mean, my highest honor as a journalist was DHS under the Biden regime sending an internal email saying that I'm not a favorable reporter and flagging it for TSA to be careful when they respond to me. That was pretty amazing. But getting a subpoena from a three-letter agency, they topped me. They topped me. So we're going to continue to follow it, because as far as I know, I have not seen any updates regarding the subpoena. But where does this all come from? Well, folks, I've been digging into this. I've been warning you all about this because I saw this coming. I knew what they were doing. Under Pam Bondi, our attorney general, they were trying to clear the way so that they could find out who the leakers in the administration were. Now, before you say, oh, we don't like leakers, understand something. You like them under the Biden regime. It's how I was able to tell you what was going on in the White House. It's how I was able to tell you that they were lying to you. So you can't have it both ways. Leakers create transparency. But when you're in the White House, you don't really like leakers. You don't really like leakers. And so this article comes to us back in April. And I saw it. I knew it was going to happen. Attorney General Pam Bondi has revoked a policy that made journalists testify, or pretty much gave them protection so they didn't have to testify and out their sources. And this included subpoenas as well. Now, again, she came out and said that the DOJ will not tolerate unauthorized disclosures that undermine the Trump policies. That's what she wrote. That was in a internal memo that was handed to staff and was obtained by Politico. But then there was this, and this was egregious in itself. Remember when I was, and again, I love Pete Hegseth. I went to bat for him when he was nominated and the whole world was going up against him because I worked at Fox. I knew that everything they were saying about him was false. So remember that when I tell you this next story. Back in May, we learned, according to reports, that the Pentagon was looking to investigate the leakers. Remember there were three leakers that they were accusing leaking information to the media about? Well, according to reports, when the DOD was questioned, or the DOD was, hey, where's your evidence? It looks like that they might have been wiretapping their own people to figure out who they were leaking to. Again, illegal, unethical. Shouldn't be happening in the first place. And I truly believe that the three men that they outed aren't the leakers that they were looking for. In fact, we do know that there was one individual who's now made his way to the tops of Pete Hegseth's rankings, who is a Biden regime hangover. Even the White House doesn't trust him. But he's still there. So if you're looking for leakers, it's probably the guy who used to work for the previous administration. But that's speculation. But folks, this has been going on for a while. And the only reason why I'm obligated to call it out, right? Obviously, you guys know I'm biased, right? Love President Trump. Voted for this administration. Endorsed when Pete Hegseth's name was mentioned. Pete Hegseth for his role. I still think he's a great, honorable man. But you have to call the shots appropriately. I can't just sit here and tell you that everything's gravy, everything's going well. Because I am a journalist. And guess what? A real journalist, too, by the way. One who does not allow other journalists to be attacked. Your sources are your sources. You don't out your sources. You protect them. But again, this isn't something that's new. This has been going on for quite some time. I've spoken with Cheryl Atkinson, another incredible journalist who was breaking stories left and right when she was working within the corporate media. And you know who didn't like it? The Obama regime. They wanted to find out who her sources were. So they, with other journalists as well, I should say, went after their call logs. We're trying to figure out who they were speaking to. Again, something they shouldn't be doing. Cheryl Atkinson is still suing the federal government over this. Yeah, you heard that right. That lawsuit still ongoing. Cheryl Atkinson, an absolutely incredible journalist. One of the only ones who actually went there and put her own fight up. Has poured thousands of dollars into all of this. What were the results? Well, she learned through sources that the federal government was attempting to potentially put child pornographic images on her husband's devices. Why? Well, discredit him. Discredit her. And when I learned that, I spoke with Cheryl. I had her on my podcast. When I learned that, it now has me questioning everything. You know, one of the most egregious crimes for an individual to be accused of. Well, has our federal government been planting these horrific images on people's devices to discredit them? It's possible. It's possible. Cheryl caught them. So they couldn't do it to her, but they were spying on her. And it wasn't just her, it was other reporters too. There was a reporter over at Fox News who was also spied on. And although he speaks out and puts out a couple of tweets nowadays, he didn't put up the fight that Cheryl Atkinson is still putting up with. That woman is one of the bravest women in journalism. When it comes to protecting her sources, when it comes to telling you about political corruption. ATF also not a fan of Cheryl Atkinson's as well, but it's been happening for quite some time. Under the Obama years, they've been doing this. And it needs to end. If you were to tell me that there was a CNN journalist who was being targeted by the Trump administration, I would say the same thing. They send you a subpoena. You do not give up your sources. No forensic copies of our phones. I mean, one of my employers tried pulling that from a civil lawsuit. Phone kick rocks. You're not getting my phone. That's how it needs to be. You protect your sources at all costs. And it's sad that we're even having to have this discussion because it's a new administration. You and I both voted for these people. So we're going to sit back and wait and see what happens. Will they actually go through with issuing that subpoena? Well, listen, I know Crowder seems not giving up anytime soon. And I'm still envious. But folks, we are battling evil here. We are battling absolute evil. And it's gut-wrenching to see. And I want to believe that everyone who's in their current positions are operating at, let's just say they have the best intentions. But you and I, we hold people accountable, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on. And so I can't imagine a scenario where this administration is going to pick a fight with, I mean, Crowder literally endorsed the president. He's the most popular conservative show right now in digital media. You're going to pick that fight? That's a losing battle. And you've got too many fights that you're fighting on right now. We'll continue to follow that story. I look forward to doing just that, especially if there's a subpoena involved in this one, because folks, you don't give up your sources. You fight to the death when it comes to that. Speaking of just that, this is a rough turn. So if you're eating, I apologize right now, but President Trump is speaking out in regards to, get this, a beheading that took place in Dallas, Texas. The video footage is absolutely egregious, but of course, the suspect who you see, and I have to say the word suspect, don't hate me, carrying a human head, you're going to see it in just a second, this individual kicks the head, and then is carrying it. Well, surprise, surprise, he's a non-U.S. citizen, living in the United States illegally, according to reports. He apparently beheaded a motel manager at the Downtown Suites Motel in Dallas and kicked the head of the victim like a soccer ball. Now, apparently, the illegal alien became enraged because the manager used another worker to translate instead of speaking Spanish directly to him. That's according to CBS News. Apparently that suspect was let into the country by no one other than the Biden regime. So that graphic video brought to you by the Biden regime. You know, I have to say, I really love the fact that President Trump is tackling crime right now throughout our country. It's been a story a subject matter that's close to my heart, as many of you guys know. I started my career covering violence throughout New York City, throughout New York State, speaking to sexual assault victims. And I know this sounds strange coming out for me, but just covering it all the time throughout New York was just devastating, and it was just depressing. That my excuse was to pivot over to politics more so, to give myself a break from all the depressing crime stories that were going on in New York, because no one was doing anything about it. But President Trump is fighting back, and we're very excited about that. He is utilizing all of the tools in his toolbox to go out there and to secure these cities, which is something I'm excited for, because this is something that's been long overdue. All right, let's bring it to New York right now, because I want to talk about New York Governor Kathy Hochul, because there is an incredible, I just had it in front of me a second ago, an incredible New York Post, here we go. Look at this little commie. Well, Kathy Hochul, I tell you guys all the time, far left, I don't even say far left anymore, but she is a commie supporter these days, because she just backed the mayor candidate in New York City. Now that individual, O'Donnell, I know a lot of people like to call him out for his religious beliefs because he is Muslim, but there's so much more to talk about with that. You don't even have to talk about his religion, because you're not going to win anyone over, especially in New York City, if you focus strategically on religion, because there are liberals in New York City, and then there are level-headed Democrats. I know level-headed Democrats sounds like I'm contradicting myself. But if you make it about race, you're not going to be winning over many. So let's just focus on the fact that he's a communist. Let's just focus on the fact that his father is evil. Let's focus on the fact that Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, instead of supporting the current New York City mayor, Eric Adams, instead of supporting the man who she took over for, Mr. Andrew Cuomo, which I wouldn't want, instead of endorsing any of those individuals, she has decided to go with communist. I wonder why that is. And then Democrats wonder why they're not winning elections. They're not winning elections because you have pulled so far to the left that all you see is red. And they don't even shy away from it anymore, right? Like, he's not even pretending. They'll use terms like, oh, he's a socialist. No, he's not. He's a communist. Say it. And he's being funded by people that hate this country. He would be absolutely devastating as mayor, but it's very likely he's going to win. Because we all know, we've seen the reports, you know, the RARE Foundation has been doing an incredible job at digging into this man. We've seen the reports from them that call him out. Look at this, President Trump. Governor Kathy Hochul of New York has endorsed the communist. I mean, it's like, duh. Zohran Mahdani. I don't even, like, probably not even pronouncing that correct. Obviously, it's shocking that this is how far Democrats have gone, but we've always known that they were communists, but now they're just telling you to your face. They're not even going to lie to you anymore. Especially in New York, because they control all three branches of government on the state level. New York City just has a grip on the rest of the state. And keep in mind, folks, I know everyone's like, oh, this is what you voted for. I'm from Long Island. Long Island doesn't vote for this. Upstate New York doesn't vote for this. They are being held hostage by New York City liberals who continue to have all of the power and continue to elect horrific, horrific people like Kathy Hochul and soon to be Mahdani. It's pretty impressive, though. Kathy Hochul openly admitting when she wrote and released this piece, I believe it was in the New York Times, endorsing Mahdani. She pretty much goes out and says, the question of who will be the next mayor is one I take extremely seriously and watch to. I have devoted a great deal of thought. And then so she goes on to endorse Zohran Mahdani. Ugh. And before her official statement, she admits, yeah, we have had some disagreements on some issues. But she's still supporting him. Shocking. Shocking in itself. Mahdani hasn't shied away from a lot, though. He has been very, very open with his beliefs. He doesn't like the police. He's one of the many New York City want to defund the police, get rid of the police, because it's the police that are the problem, not the criminals you continuously throw back onto the streets to go out there and victimize people. No. If you're wondering why I fled New York because of people like him, demons. People like Andrew Cuomo, who I laugh, who's now running against him, and he won't leave, even though he lost the primary. Andrew Cuomo, another horrific politician in New York, decided to push through something they call criminal justice reform, but it's the criminal bill of rights because it gives more rights to the actual criminals than the victims. And if you're wondering how someone could eliminate cash bail for crimes like possession of child pornography, which results in at the time, a bench warrant ticket, you just get a ticket when you're caught with these things, you're not actually put in front of a judge and a judge gets to assess whether or not you're a risk to society or not. No. Democrats just completely wiped out their authority, their power, and they didn't want them doing this. And so how does a criminal bill of rights make its way through the New York State Legislature? Well, of course, you have to attach it to a budget that includes their salary increases. And so if these politicians want their increased salary, their budget to pass, plastic bags to be banned. Well, you got to sign this off too. And that's what he did. Andrew Cuomo put this all together in one package deal, a slob of a mess. Even manslaughter, they considered nonviolent. The media lied. People, they didn't read through it all. I read through it. I'm like, guys, you know they're going to let murderers go. There's no way for a judge to even intercept and to say, hold on a second, that guy actually shouldn't go back on the streets. He's a danger to society. No. The judges have no authorities. They've yanked that all away from them, unless it's a crime that they deem as violent. But Democrats, they're very liberal in the term when it comes to violence. And so they decided to just completely eliminate cash bail for those types of crimes. Well, what has it resulted in? Crime's up. But the best part is that bill actually made it a little bit more challenging for victims to come forward and file criminal reports. What do I mean by that? Well, let's say you're a woman, you're on a subway, and this happens very, very often, so I never took the subways. A creepy man gropes you. You want to file criminal charges against that individual. Well, you go to a police officer. The police officer takes all the information down. And that police officer, whether they're a good cop or a bad cop, is going to warn you and say, hey, listen, just so you know, he might actually get information from you now because you're filing charges against him. He'll get contact information if he asks the judge, like your address, your phone number. That was also in the legislation. So if you're a female and that just happened to you, do you want the guy to know where you live? Of course you don't. So you don't file criminal charges. You're probably wondering, well, how the hell would someone do that? Why would they do that? That's weird. Democrats love altering their crime stats. And so what are they going to do? Well, they're going to make sure that victims don't file criminal complaints. So they could tell, say, oh, look, this is great. This is great. It's reducing crime in New York. The rest of the country should try this out. Well, they gave it their best shot. And although they did their very best to bully victims out of filing criminal charges, New York City is a cesspool. It's why I left. I fled. It's heartbreaking because it was a great city at one point. I know I started my career there. I had no problem walking around the city. And then things got really bad. Because the judges got super liberal. They didn't care for the voices of victims. And so it's what you see today. Now, Madani doesn't believe in the police. He also doesn't believe that the police should be called for domestic disputes, domestic violence. Now, if you don't have to be a member of law enforcement, let's say you talk to a member of law enforcement and ask them, what is the riskiest call to respond to? You know what they're going to tell you? Domestic violence calls. Because, again, tensions are high. People are really upset. And it's a domestic dispute. In fact, I believe we pulled up the FBI statistic on this. And again, these are pre the altered stats, but from 2011 to 2020, there were over 500 police officers that were killed. 43 of those officers were murdered while responding to domestic disturbances or domestic violence calls. So they all know that there's a lot at risk when you respond to one of those calls. So what happens? Well, Donnie wants to send in a social worker. He wants to send in an unarmed person. Yeah, that's a job I'm not signing up for anytime soon. It's egregious. But again, it's not crazy. It's crazy for us. It's not crazy for them. Why? Well, because they're communists. All right, a lot more to dive into when we come back. I've got a lot that I'm going to talk to you guys about regarding these far left groups. Had enough of them. And it's time to start letting the walls close in on them. More on that front next.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, The West Awakens, with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowshowstore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store, apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense of Beam Boost, and get another bottle half off. The point is, we got War Bonds. That's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100. It's mailed to you as a promo code on it for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, just like being Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time. Get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our monthly blue. You are crazy if you don't get our Ultimate Life Force Blood Detox. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, folks. Oh, a lot to dig into today. It's a busy weekend. I'm glad you guys are with us. Glad you're with me. As many of you guys may know, I am your new host for American Journal. My name is Brianna Morello. Thank you for jumping on with me. Harrison's moving over to the war room. And you got me, so congratulations. We got a lot to kick off, though. I'm working on a lot of exclusive stories that I'm very excited to bring you guys on this program. Very soon, this whole week will be probably jam-packed with exclusives because there's so much going on in the world today, and I want to make sure we get it to you. We are beating out the mainstream media, and it is an honor that I am able to do just that. So, you know, as many of you guys know, I always say it. I started off my career covering crime. It was first sports, and then it was crime. One of my greatest passions was covering the rise of crime throughout New York. And as I just alluded to in the last segment, there's a lot of it going on. Now, there have been certain tools that have been implemented to ease those issues that were going on. And for some reason, the current candidate, the leader of the pack in regards to the New York City mayoral race, is looking to take back those tools from the NYPD. Madani is his name, and let's just take a little listen to some of the stupidity that he was trying to advocate for in regards to eliminating the kind of the database that they've put together regarding gangs in New York City.
If city council legislation to abolish the NYPD gang database were to pass, would you support and sign that?
I have supported that proposal. It's one I've supported because of the vast dragnet has meant the inclusion of New Yorkers on the basis of whether they go out late, photos they put on social media, so much of the facts of life of being a young New Yorker. And yet it then becomes a mark of suspicion. And it is a concern of mine that we do not live up to, of all people, Eric Adams' words in 2021, who said that New Yorkers need not choose between safety and justice. Mm-hmm. There's no question that we have to take gangs extremely seriously. And yet I find that a database that includes New Yorkers on such bases is one that doesn't actually do exactly that.
Okay,
that's something we could all get behind normally, under normal circumstances. I can get behind the government not surveilling us, but that's not what he's advocating for. You and I both know that. He would love to put us all in a database and know where we are, what we're doing, what our movements are, and put us on a list. Democrats did it the last time they were in power. So he's not saying that he doesn't want to put you and I on a list. He doesn't want police to know who these gang members are. Now, why would you want to pull the most critical tool that law enforcement uses to keep an eye on these gang members? Well, he's obviously looking to wreak havoc in New York City. He'll never admit fault. And as he says all the time, he declares war on the Trump administration. He's ready to go to war with the Trump administration. Man, these people really aren't bringing their best to this country. That man's going to be a hot pile of garbage for New York City. Smells like a New York City dumpster fire on a hot New York day. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess if that guy actually wins. It's likely he's going to win. Again, the Rare Foundation has put out several reports about what's going on behind the scenes with him. And, you know, Muslims in New York City are literally telling people to go out and vote because Allah wants you to. These are people who normally wouldn't vote in their own countries. They don't believe in politics. But then we bring them to ours, and now all of a sudden they want to play a key role in the takeover.
We're going to continue to follow that. I know we have a great guest coming on tomorrow, Liz Joy. She has been fighting the battle in New York State, and this is a big one that she's going to be taking on as well. So we look forward to having her on the program tomorrow to discuss that. But a lot going on in the world, folks, that I can't wait to dive into. I'm going to be talking about in just a few moments the evil on the left. The assassination of Charlie Kirk is obviously egregious, and we should all be able to agree of that. But those communist hacks, they're celebrating. We'll dive into that in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Long ago, far in the past, lived a man on the open vast. His sword at his side held tight with a fist. Through the rains and through the mist, he carried on only to survive. By the power of mental drive, no man nor beast stood a chance through the battles.
With your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello, and I'm very excited that you guys are with us today. It is my first time hosting as the official host now. I've filled in for Harrison once before, but now it is just you and I every morning, and I'm very excited for that. Harrison's moving over to the War Room. Today he's filling in for Alex Jones, but that will be his permanent home, so you're not going to want to miss out on that. Lots of changes happening over here on InfoWars. We're very excited that you guys are joining us. I'm excited, though, because in just a few moments, we are going to be taking live calls. I've never done this before, but we're going to do it on this program. So give me a ring in just a few moments. The number is 877-789-2539. We're going to talk in just a few moments because there's a lot going on in the world. I want to hear from you. I mean, there's so many topics I might have missed out on, but we'll dive into that. So make sure you guys call in a few minutes. Okay. I want to talk about how evil Democrats are because you and I both know they are evil. But this assassination against Charlie Kirk kind of highlights all of that. And it kind of reminds the American people of what they've been up to. And so I think it's really important that we show how cruel they are. A Fox News camera was actually rolling and caught this footage of a 19-year-old who was vandalizing the memorial for Charlie Kirk just outside the Turning Point headquarters. It's infuriating. This is what's going on all around the country. These left-wing hacks. I mean, he's 19. He probably doesn't. I would hope he doesn't know what he's doing. But it looks like he does. I mean, look at this. That's not accidental. Thankfully, a group of patriots came in and bam. F that guy. That's how you treat these people. 19, stupid. Kick him in the head a couple of times. No, I'm just kidding. I'm nonviolent. Nonviolent. But this is what needs to happen. People need to learn a lesson. You're not going to go around and trample on us. You're not going to go around and do that to the memory of Charlie Kirk. People are doing the most egregious things because they think that they could hide. They think it's just social media. Ted Cruz is doing his part, and I chuckled at this one, but apparently there was a very mean thing that was in graffiti, and Ted Cruz saw it and decided to paint over it. You will not disrespect Charlie Kirk on our watch. He doesn't look like a natural at this, I gotta say. He does not look like a natural at this at all. At least he's doing his part, though. Listen, we need to defend Charlie Kirk's memory. We cannot allow these people to get away with this. I know I'm getting a ton of tips in my inbox. It's actually overwhelming, but there are so many tips of people who are sending me social media posts. And I hate to do it because I've never wanted to do it. I never wanted to go after people. But the left's been doing this for so long where they'll go after you. I mean, they literally went after my sisters who are, they don't agree with my political views. They're not even going to watch today because they don't agree with their political views. Still love me, but they don't agree. And, you know, it's pretty egregious, but, it's just frustrating. It really is frustrating. This is what they do on the left. It's the difference. We keep talking about it. It's the difference between both sides. It's a big difference. Take a look at this report. This was pretty insane. Okay. And I want to highlight the fact that, you know, there was the press conference last week, and I don't know if you guys recall, but the governor of Utah spoke and he said he wanted to give you a heads up. He wanted everyone to know that a lot of the accounts that you're seeing online are foreign accounts who are trying to agitate both those on the left and the right, because the goal here is to create a civil war. That's what our adversaries want. I do believe it. I do believe that. And they didn't say Russia, so it made it a little bit more believable. That's usually their go-to point, is by saying the Russians are behind this one. But they did say the Chinese, and I do believe that. But take a look at this article, because this is really interesting. And I got to remember to slow my speech down. As a former New Yorker, it's really bad. But this article here is interesting, right? Because authorities in Utah say two men have been arrested for looking to plant an explosive device under a news media vehicle. Now, the Associated Press, it takes a while before they tell you what news vehicle it was. It's likely marked. I worked in local news, so they would have known. Oh, wait. I don't think I see it at all, the AP story. Well, according to other reports, it was a Fox vehicle. And according to other reports, they don't say it. But the individuals who were detained, Pakistani. That's what I saw. The FBI identified the two suspects and served a warrant on their home. Now, apparently there were other things found inside of the home during the search, which weren't listed on the warrants. I'm sure they're going to go back for that one. But again, it looks like, who knows? I mean, it didn't go off, obviously, the explosive, but why would that be? Why would you target a Fox vehicle, a local news vehicle, after Charlie Kirk was just assassinated? Well, I don't know their immigration status. I could tell you, though, I am looking into that. But if you wanted to stir up political tensions in this country any further than they are right now, you'd probably go and attack another right wing, not even right wing, but what they would deem as a right wing organization. It's very, very possible. Normally I would say, I don't know. Hold off. But if you're looking for hope, let me give it to you. I was very, very happy to see that professional sports teams are paying their respect to Charlie Kirk. My Yankees paid their respect, and I was very thankful to see that last week. And we also saw it yesterday with the Dallas Cowboys. They paid their respect as well as the New York Jets. We have that video. And I am so happy that we could finally do this in NFL arenas. I mean, they did it during BLM. You guys let me know. Do you think, is there a sign of hope? Are you hopeful that this is everything turning around? I hope so. I hope that's the case. Because we sat here, we watched as, I mean, that's one of the main reasons why I was so done with sports. I mean, I love Yankees. I love the Yankees, obviously. I've got my only tattoo is behind my neck. I did it when I was like 20, so please excuse me. But I got the Yankee symbol tattooed. I loved watching sports. I loved watching baseball. But everything ended in 2020 for me, and I was full on all politics after that to figure out what the heck is going on in this world. They even force, and I don't think the Cuban players within the league understood it, but they had the BLM logo behind the pitcher's mound for all baseball players. And I didn't understand why Cubans weren't speaking up. I mean, as many of you guys know, baseball is widely popular, and a lot of their players are from Cuba. So I don't understand how they didn't understand the communist Marxist movement that was going on behind the scenes, and they didn't speak up. But we're suddenly seeing a lot of Christian baseball players stand up, rejecting the LGBTQ nights, which was very exciting to see. I know the Texas Rangers didn't partake in that, and what happened? Well, they won the World Series. Because God was on their side for that one. But also, you know, they are starting to push back. We're seeing the LA Dodgers, their closer pitcher, put two crosses on his hat with Charlie Kirk's name in between both. Things are hopefully starting to turn around. Maybe going towards sanity? I hope so. I really, really hope so. It would be refreshing to see that kind of turnaround. Folks, we're going to be taking calls in just a few moments before I get to this next story. I wanted to remind you, first day here, so I want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call. I want to talk to you. We're going to do that in the second half of this hour. So definitely do just that. A lot going on, though. Let's talk a little bit more, obviously, about the investigation that's ongoing. Again, I don't think we're learning a lot from these law enforcement agencies, so we're kind of relying on mainstream reports, independent journalists like this, Steven Crowder, posting all of this for us to see. Because, again, we can't really trust the government. But there's a lot of reports coming out in regards to who this suspect is and what he was aligned with, because people want to know what the motive was. Obviously, if you know what the motive was, it was political. But what groups was this person associated with? Well, we're starting to kind of get a little bit of an understanding. Daily Mail's been doing an incredible job, actually. I'll give them credit where credit's due, digging into a lot of this. And they're saying that the suspect was linked to a furry website. Now, I was actually walking my dogs one day. I'll give you a little synopsis on how I learned what these furry things were. We were walking my dogs, me and my friend John, and we were at the park, and we stumbled upon a bunch of grown adults dressed up as furry animals. I thought, well, that was pretty weird. Maybe there's like a kid's party going on upstairs. And as we walk around, it was like kind of like the outdoor steps that we're taking. We turn, and it was actually a whole bunch of them. A whole bunch of them. And my dog was confused. Giuseppe was very confused. I was confused. John wasn't confused. He's very familiar with this. He told me he doesn't attend these events, but he's heard of it. But Giuseppe was confused because a lot of them look like him. A lot of them look like him. In case you guys don't know, Giuseppe and Gio, they're both Twitter famous, but they are two Pomeranians. And so a lot of these people look like them. And so Giuseppe literally turned his head and was very confused as to what the heck was going on here. So the Daily Mail is saying that he was a member of this and he was posting on this website. Many of the animal characters are also sexualized. Well, that's creepy. They're claiming that there was an account by the name of Fur Afni, registered back in July of this year. So it was created 2 months before Kirk's shooting, and they're saying that they believe that's associated with this suspect. Strange. Very strange. But we'll continue to follow that one because I want to see how that unravels, that element alone. I mean, it's definitely creepy, but we'll see how that one unravels. There's also other reports about this individual potentially being tied to different pro-trans groups. Now, again, we haven't heard this from law enforcement, so I want to tread lightly, because I think that reports are beneficial. I do believe journalism will save us when our government's not being as transparent as we wish they were to be. Again, they'll cite ongoing investigation, but we are all focused now, and we don't want our focus shifted. So they're saying that the suspect, they're looking into potential ties that see if any of these groups did have any type of forewarning that this was going to happen. The claims that investigators are examining leftist groups in Utah and online for their potential involvement or awareness of this assassination. The focus includes stream gaming community and pro-trans group one that they call, again, it's a report, Armed Queers SLC. Now, apparently the group has deleted their Instagram after Kirk's death. But there's a lot to dig into on that front. You know, we played it before. I want to play it again, though. President Trump, I want you to listen to his words because they're very particular on what he's saying. I want you to listen again to what President Trump is saying in regards to these left-wing groups being under investigation. Take a listen.
Well, the problem is on the left. If you look at the problem is on the left. It's not on the right, like some people like to say on the right. The problem we have is on the left. And when you look at the agitators, you look at the scum that speaks so badly of our country, the American flag burnings all over the place, that's the left. That's not the right.
Do you plan on investigating?
We'll see. We'll be announcing. Okay. They're already under investigation. You know, they're already under major investigation. A lot of the people that you would traditionally say are on the left.
They're already under?
Already under investigation.
Interesting, because when did this investigation start? Well, I haven't heard anything. And I have pretty much got my ear to the ground on this one. Normally, we hear whispers, right? Grand juries, we know when those are existing. People will tell me when topics are about to heat up again and when I should start talking about them again because it's going to be something, there could be some movement. I haven't heard of anything like this before, so I'm excited to hear about this. Also, it's important to note, when I looked at the president's schedule for today, the president is set to sign a presidential memorandum today at 4 p.m. Eastern time. There's no details in regards to that, but I'm hoping somebody asks that question because I want to know more about this investigation. How far along is it? President Trump understands the threat with the left. We know this. Back in 2020, he was not fearing calling it out. He was very bold in his movements when it came to just that. Didn't get much in the way of congressional support on that front, but again, United States of America will be designating Antifa as a terrorist organization. Now, there's a lot about Antifa that we know, a lot that we don't know. Kind of a mix in between. But the reason why we don't know a lot about Antifa is because they assault journalists. Andy Ngo knows this very well. Andy Ngo was obviously assaulted, as many of you guys saw. I believe he had to deal with a brain aneurysm as well. It was egregious to watch. I believe they hit him with a concrete shake, as they call it, when he was covering them. And he's someone who I'm pretty sure can't even go out into the public because he fears for his life. But again, this is happening all over the world. This isn't the first group here in the United States. This isn't just like secluded to just Portland. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's been on the receiving end of that. That's one of my favorite congresswomen, MTG. Incredible. She speaks her mind. She speaks truth to power. She has been pushing for a lot of this as well. She has been trying her very best to designate Antifa as a terrorist organization. Again, she did this during the first term. Again, second term, back in January, this is what she filed for. She was joined by another great congressman, Mr. Andy Biggs, Clay Higgins as well. They are trying to push for these groups to be designated appropriately. Now, will it happen? We don't know. It's crazy because President Trump has signed over 200 executive orders. Now, I've been trying to follow what's going through Congress, and I think we've got less than a dozen that have been pushed forward. It's interesting because, you know, we're seeing states do their jobs and trying their best now, like Texas, to give Republicans the advantage here, but something that Democrats have done for far too long. Florida also jumping on board now. There's other states. I believe Missouri is also trying to jump into this as well. But I think it's interesting for many different points. But I think it's really interesting the simple fact that everyone's trying their very best to give Republicans the advantage for midterms. But why are we doing this? Because the Speaker of the House is not prioritizing President Trump's agenda. And I'm pretty sure the reason why they're doing it is, well, if you want this to be resolved, if you want this to be fixed, you've got to reelect Republicans. So we could just sit on our behind for the next 2 years and do absolutely nothing. They're so soft. They're so beta. It's crazy to me how, like, Speaker Johnson was once, and when I heard it was Speaker Johnson getting called for to lead in the House, I was excited. A Christian conservative attorney, constitutional attorney. What else could you ask for? Well, something happened between, according to people I've spoken to, he says to people all the time privately, I have to negotiate with the other side. And he says that when he has the majority, when he's had a cushy majority. So should we keep giving in the majority? Should we keep just going out there to vote? I mean, it's pretty discouraging. We'll see how it all pans out for these midterms. I don't know if it's going to be a big motivator for folks. I mean, obviously, the assassination of Charlie Kirk is something that I 100% agree with when it comes to, when it comes to going after them and making sure that we hold the elected officials' feet to the fire. And I think it's going to be a motivator for many people. I mean, House Republicans, are they just holding on to that and hoping that's going to carry them through? Charlie Kirk wouldn't want that. He wouldn't want that. And I just can't believe this is what we're dealing with right now. Republicans aren't doing anything. They're not advancing President Trump's agenda. However you feel about the administration, there are things that you like. There's a lot of things that I like. And the fact that we're not advancing it, the fact that it's just executive orders, means that in just a few years from now, if a Democrat makes its way into the office, well, everything's gone. So the goal of the House and the Senate should be to expand and extend President Trump's agenda. But for some reason, they're not doing that. And they get more vacations than you and I, which I think is so laughable. I didn't even realize how bad it was for them. I mean, the fact that they just took off all month of August, that's nice. Some of us actually have to work for a living, and we work for a living so we could pay their bills. As we head into midterms, though, I just can't stomach the nonsense anymore. Also, the grifters. You know how many of you guys at home probably get these too, but I get bombarded with these stupid spam text messages asking for money. Hey, it's Speaker Johnson. And you're like, oh, it's not Speaker Johnson. Might be. He's asking for money. With nothing on the receiving end for us, of course. But I've been getting, and it's actually pretty egregious, all of these different organizations actually trying to fundraise off of Charlie Kirk's death. Where are we as a country? I'm going to save a list. And we've got to start calling out these groups, because it's one thing for Turning Point to be doing it. I understand, because they want to keep his legacy going. They do need funding. But all of these other groups who are pretending to be aligned to Erica Kirk, egregious. And it's happening. I think I've gotten probably five of those text messages. That incredible man, I still cannot believe that he is only 31 years old, built an empire like we've never seen before in this country. We don't appreciate people while they're here with us enough. You know, Charlie Kirk's life should have been celebrated a long time ago. He was doing such incredible things for this administration and the American people. I don't even know how he did it. He had his show, and then he ran Turning Point, and then he was also probably like an unofficial advisor to the White House, I'd assume, because he was a close ally with the president, was one of the original believers, on top of being a husband and being a father and everything else. You know, all my friends would always tell me, oh, I just got a text message from Charlie. He's sending me scripture. So many incredible, incredible memories people have with Charlie Kirk, and it's absolutely devastating to see. Folks, we are going to be taking calls into the next portion of this hour. So give us a ring, 877-789-2539. I want to hear from you. Let's chat just a few moments.
We'll
will join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Here's the deal. We are winning in court. We're defeating the Democrats. We're defeating their law firms. All this powerful stuff's happening. I can tell you they are under criminal investigation by the DOJ. And the DOJ is not just looking at this to play games, okay? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to be gone for a few days here. I'll just leave it at that. So there's a lot going on. But we are literally maxed out in the bills and what's going on because 80% of the funding goes into legal because we are suing them and depositions and just constant warfare and filings and just, I mean, we are winning. I mean, I'm in a battle, but I'm running out of ammo. Go to theallyshowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of T-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum. Of the Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best. You've heard about Methylene Blue, well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best IRC Moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. I have so many friends and family that are chronically sick and stuff. Even though they didn't take the shots, they got it shedded on them. And they take the other two big blood cleaner things that were the highest certified put out by scientists. We just got with formulators and combined both formulas together. So it's like a horse pill. This is hands down the best. And just for general cardiovascular health, you need it. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. It's all there, limited time, thealexjonesstore.com. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? So you spend $75, $75.01, suddenly your bill is $65. Got it? Just another giant discount up of everything. But you really want to get the Ultra Methylene Blue. You want to get the Bovine Colostrum. Ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. Don't know about Bovine Colostrum. It is the superfood nutrient. Hottest thing for a decade now. Ultra hot. The hottest thing. We have the best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. But this is only running, they're telling me, until next Monday, maybe Tuesday, because the Bovine Colostrum selling out. The capsules from Methylene Blue selling out. The Shilajit gummies are selling out. The IRC Moss capsules are selling out. And so a lot of these won't be available just in the next few days. So take advantage of it now. But I'm telling you, you think our information's powerful? You want to get the Ultra Methylene Blue. Consult your physician before you take it. It's powerful. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen what's happened. This is hands down the most incredible thing I've ever taken. I took other Methylene Blue before. I didn't really feel it because it wasn't medical grade. This does it. This is it. Get yours now. TheYellowstoneStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
This is my very first time hosting as the official host. So I'm excited that you're on board with me. In case you're wondering, where's Harrison? Harrison's switching over to the war room. But today he's filling in for Alex Jones. So you'll see him in just a few moments. But folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. because they just extended their sale and it's only for an additional 1 day. So you're going to want to head over there right now because you get a free $10 when you order $75 right now on the website. Plus, there's an incredible shirt that you're going to want to support because a portion of the funds are going to Turning Point. Talking about the Charlie Kirk shirt, I'm going to have to grab myself one of those as well. We're doing our best to support their mission and to make sure that Kirk's voice, his opinions, his vision is not silenced by the far left radicals. But I asked you guys at home to call in. We've got some incredible people calling in. I was just told that our very first caller that I'm going to take right now is a regular for this program. And so it is an honor to have him on. Godzilla, we've got you up first. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here. I heard you're a regular for Harrison, so it is an honor to have you on today with me.
Hey, Brianna. I'm happy Joan got fresh meat for the callers. I like having different people to call in, and I think you've been doing a great job so far. You're a great talker. No ums or likes, and you're very eloquent, so good job so
Thank
far.
You.
But I wanted to discuss a lot of people online since this horrible assassination occurred has been, you know, playing the blame game. Is it the LGBTQ rainbow mafia or is it Israel? And I just wanted to put forth that, like, they're not mutually exclusive. You know, like, they can both exist at the same time that Israel is known to use messed up people as, like, a cudgel, like a golem almost, or a Frankenstein. And I think it's very important because the FBI in this situation and the feds in the U.S. kind of need to prove that it wasn't Israel. Otherwise, I think it's going to persist with this, you know, furry fudge packer shooter.
Yeah.
And I wanted to hear, what are your thoughts on it? Do you think Israel could have some involvement, or are you leaning more that it's a radical leftist?
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the difficult part, right? We're not seeing much in the way of government transparency, and that's the usual case, of course. I haven't seen anything that links it to Israel, and so, like, a direct link towards Israel. I know Harrison heard from his sources prior to all of this that there was whispers that Charlie Kirk did feel like his life may be at risk. And I think that those who are coming out and, you know, resurfacing the clips of Charlie speaking out about what was going on in Israel in regards to October 7th, his criticisms of that, I think that they're very important for us to listen to. But I haven't seen any strong evidence linking to it. Now, I do recall, though, and I think I mentioned this in the show, I do recall I believe it was one of the Utah officials coming out and saying that they believe that there might be some foreign ties to this, but not directly linked to the suspect, but might be something as an agitator, or might be stirring the pot a little bit here in the United States right now. So I wouldn't completely shut the door on foreign aspects to any of this. I just haven't seen anything in regards to Israel right now to link it. And I also would think it would be pretty foolish for Israel to do anything of that nature because Charlie Kirk was one of the very few people who the younger generation listened to, and he was obviously very pro-Israel. I've seen so many of his clips coming out and saying that he supports Israel, and then he offered soft criticism, obviously speaking up about Benjamin Netanyahu, specifically about how a lot of the protests that were supposed to take place prior and during October 7th, after October 7th, were suddenly stopped. You know, I remember just a few weeks ago when he was supposed to start his criminal trial, but that was shut down because Israel was striking, I believe it was Syria. So there's definitely a lot there to question, and I love the fact that Charlie Kirk didn't fear that. I know probably his donors weren't very happy, but I don't know if there's enough there yet to shift and point to Israel. Now, when it comes to the left-wing stuff, I'm interested in seeing evidence about that. I want to see the Discord chats. I think that's where everything lies, is who was he talking to? Because I don't think he was acting independently. This is definitely someone who is definitely influenced because his own family, according to reports, are Republicans. They apparently have conservative values, and he was the only one who strayed away from that. And so there has to be an outside source that was influencing this 22-year-old. And I believe there was also another report that he went to college for one semester, and then he suddenly went to trade school. So there's not that aspect that we normally would point to of him being influenced by college professors, a left-leaning radical college professors in this instance. So there's a lot more that I want to learn about this. I want to learn more about the foreign ties because I know for a fact that there are a lot of countries out there that would love to see the United States break out into a civil war right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I totally agree. The one thing that was suspicious to me was that kind of guy who, when the assassination immediately occurred, there was that old white guy who was like, I'm the shooter, and gave like a distraction enough time for the shooter to escape. And they said online that he's Ashkenazi Jewish. And in Utah, you know, there's not a, in Mormon country over there, there's not a lot of them. But doesn't mean that it was Israel. He could also just be a fanatical Jewish person, you know. I agree with Jones where he says we can't just go around just blaming everything on the Jews and that we have to have evidence. But I think it's an important thing that can't be pushed under the radar by the feds and Cash Patel and Trump, because otherwise it's just going to simmer and be a thing where people like Ian Carroll and Harrison Smith justifiably believe that, you know, Mossad with their assassination worldwide could be involved with something like this. You know, and on top of it, Ben Shapiro now taking over Charlie Kirk's platform is also, you know, obviously going to shift Turning Points USA to being more pro-Israel and criticizing Israel less. You know, so I think it's kind of like a new chapter where kind of I also think Israel needs to come out and help the U.S. because, you know, if they're our greatest ally and they have all this intelligence and Mossad and everything, you know, they, I would like to see more involvement from them instead of just shilling for war with Iran, you know. But it's horribly, it's horrible what happened, and that the American people had to be mass traumatized by seeing this public assassination on 4K. I was concerned that this is what was going to happen during the Trump assassination attempt. You know, you can imagine if Trump's head popped on TV like that, the chaos and madness, talk about kicking off the Civil War, to kick off the Civil War right away. And because of that, and because of this most recent assassination on Charlie Kirk, Trump definitely needs to pick up and increase his security. I'd like to see, like, Putin has, for example, the new football drone, where there's a Secret Service agent for Putin carrying around a counter drone to intercept drones coming in. I'd like to see more. There's ballistic shields that can be unfolded. I definitely think that, you know, people who are making speeches outside in public, they need to have those type of shielding and spotters on the roof. It's like, how many times do we need to learn our lesson before something really bad happens, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll let you get to other callers. Great job so far.
Thank you.
I'll be tuning in all the time.
Thank you. It's an honor to have you on. And I think you just talked about Ben Shapiro. Keep him far away from Turning Point. They want to keep their credibility. That's what they need to do. His comments were absolutely egregious about picking up the bloody mic. I can't believe it. And I want to keep him as far away as possible. But thank you, Godzilla, for calling in today. It is a pleasure to have you on. All right. Let's turn to Andrew, because Andrew in New Jersey, I hear we were maybe potentially former colleagues. I don't know when you were over at Fox, but according to my producer, you are a former Fox reporter, and you have a story you'd like to share with us.
Correct. And it was Fox in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, an affiliate, and it was LGBTQ Day at Wilkes-Barre University. And I asked the news director before I got there if I could ask where it says in the bill, don't say gay, which they would claim Governor DeSantis wrote that in the bill, knowing they were going to say that. And I called her ahead of time, because I just to be safe, and I was banned from asking that question. She was like, well, it's LGBTQ day, you can't ask that. And I just wanted, so the student organizer takes to the podium, and she, who identifies as a he, I guess, then she says it's written deceptively and claims it's a don't say, yet I couldn't, as the reporter, ask her where it says that. So that shows the bias. Plus, the being beaten down by me asking the news director, when I then interviewed the president of the college, he said, you know, we don't want discrimination in sports for trans athletes. And I wanted to ask him, I was itching to say, well, what about these biological females who feel they're being discriminated when they have to compete against a biological male like the swimmer and Penn? So it works both ways, but I didn't ask him, which I kind of regretted, but I did that out of fear because I was already reprimanded to not ask that other question. So it's great we have the stories, and that's the difference between InfoWars is that you could tell both sides. That doesn't mean that you're even promoting a side, but the audience knows the full story and they could decide for themselves. And another quick one with it was the local company BRC-TV in Pennsylvania, like in the Poconos area, and the mask mandates, they said, you know, like parents were against, most of the parents were against it, and they had rallies. And I was just a news videographer, so they would tell me, you know, what questions, and they said, ask them, aren't you afraid your kid's going to get sick or you don't listen to the doctor? So I asked the questions, and then later, you know, a couple months later, after covering all the school boards, there was a small group that of leftists that supported the mandates and the vaccines and everything. So on my own, I asked the lady, you've sat here and you've seen medical professionals, mostly nurses, say the masks are ineffective. So what is your response to that? So then I get reprimanded to say that I'm biased and I'm asking leading questions. So I emailed back, risking my job, saying, no, you're biased. You had me question the parents that don't want the mandate, yet the parents that do want it, I'm not supposed to ask them any questions. Like, and they sat there hearing that the masks are ineffective. So they're really the biased ones. That's why InfoWars is tops, because you don't have to agree with it, but you're getting the full news, the full story. And lastly, I just want to say with the crime stories, I did an assignment, like a short-term job with the New York Post, and it was totally, like you said, depressing, asking people if they're afraid to get stabbed on the subway. I had to cover all the subway violence. And but with the local news, Fios News, it's the opposite of what the mainstream media and the liberals say, that the minority community in the high crime areas, that they don't want the police, like Mandani said. No, it's exactly the opposite. Every time there was a crime story and I saw people kind of on the fence where they didn't want to talk to me, but they kind of looked like they were afraid, I would say to them, do you think there should be more police presence? And that was like a switch went off. As soon as I said that, they would come right up to the microphone and they would say yes, and the mayor promised there was going to be more patrols. So the good law-abiding citizens in New York and in Newark, where I covered in the inner cities, Patterson, they all wanted more police. They were all victims of other, happened to be minorities. The only time I ever had a problem was it was the guy's cousin or someone that got arrested. So the law-abiding citizens want more police. The liberals are lying. That's why you're great, and InfoWars is the best non-biased source of news. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you, Andrew. No, that was enjoyable. You know, it's so crazy because, I mean, as I told the audience previously, I am one who used to work for Fox. The bias in the newsroom is crazy. Many of you at home, you probably don't even think I'm like far right. But I was actually blocked from being able to write the lower thirds anymore because I was told that my lower thirds, which are banners, chyrons, whatever you want to call them, were too far right. And I lost my privileges to write those for them. So there's definitely a bias. And we uncovered, too, the whole vaccine issue over there, that they didn't want me. They were trying to force me to be vaccinated, obviously. But we couldn't even have people on the show who were going to offer the rebuttal, who were going to sit there and say, don't get these vaccines if you're completely healthy and you're young. You don't have any medical issues, because we don't know the long-term effects. No. They would edit that part out. And so it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. Savage Dog from Georgia, though, I hear you have an idea that you'd like to kick up today on the American Journal. Welcome.
Hey, welcome. First, let me turn on my Yankee to Redneck translator real quick.
Thank you.
All right. Now, in the words of John McClane, welcome to the potty, pal.
I'm excited. This is going to be a fun one.
Yes, ma'am. I can't wait. Okay, we're talking about the, the Smith-Mund Act. And that's a whole lot of meh to me, because all they got to do is say, instead of saying, he is a fascist, they'll say, allegedly in Minecraft, he's a fascist. So it's not going to have a whole lot of teeth unless you do a whole lot of stuff that's going to tilt right on the edge of the First Amendment. But what I think ought to happen, which would not touch the First Amendment, is doing a Joseph McCarthy style hearings on college professors who are completely advocating for communist anti-American ideas. That is against the Constitution, and that can be prosecuted and struck down. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
No, you go. Finish your thought.
No, I was good.
Okay. Well, I think it's a great idea. I mean, listen, we were able to pull back funding when schools, college campuses were allowed to have what they deemed were anti-Semitic protests and how quickly this administration was able to respond. I think that if you are a college professor and you're pushing a communist Marxist agenda, that yes, you should be pulled. We should not allow that in our schools. And if they won't fire you, these colleges and universities, then pull the funding. I mean, these schools rely on the funding in regards to all of that. So I think it's important that we utilize all the tools that we have available. I mean, the fact that we allow it in the first place, and they're so influential. You know, we're going through, and I'm getting all these tips that are coming in that are talking about the people who are speaking out on social media in favor of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and they're defending it, and they're celebrating it. And they're teachers. They're nurses. There are people who should not be doing this in the first place. And that's the bulk of it. So it's concerning, like you just said, like these people are very influential over young people, that they have made their ways into the schools and they are the ones who are inflicting their ideas onto these kids who are vulnerable. They don't know both sides of the argument. And so I think you've got a good idea on your hands there, my friend. And so I would agree. I would agree with you on that. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. Let's go to Kayla, because Kayla, you've got a question regarding political violence right now throughout the country.
Right. Hi. First, Brianna, I want to just congratulate you. You are like the perfect pick.
Thank you.
For me to listen to in the morning, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Well, I was in L.A. on January 6, 2020 with people like Dr. Judy Mikovits when we saw what happened. And after what happened in Washington, D.C., you know, let's face it, we were on the way of more cities being able to make their voices heard. And then that happened. And then there was fear, you know, obviously justified. But now, what, you know, how do we pull this together? Something maybe like England, where the people, no offense to Texas, I'm a new Texan, I'm from San Diego, I'm a native, and they have put the fear in us and cheating, and that's why people call California blue, but it's not. It's red. And then you have this, we now have the same problem here in Texas. And we have to figure out a way to peacefully protest and allow our voices to be heard. Mm-hmm. And my question is, you know, who's going to lead that? With Charlie gone, and I know some people are standing up, but if they don't see us out there, you know, we can get them in trouble, all that stuff. And obviously, InfoWars, I love them, I support them. But how are we going to get our conservative nationwide voices heard so that something changes here? Because no offense, you cover it. Look at our Texas legislator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's worse than what we see, right, with the Fed.
So, yeah. And people don't realize that.
Any ideas?
Yeah. Well, the Texas legislator, let's just talk about it quickly, because you're new to Texas. I'm new to Texas. I think I got here 6 months ago, and I was completely shocked as they were trying to elect their speaker for the House. Now, they have a Republican majority, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Texas, but they installed a speaker who was voted in by Democrats. And so what does that mean? Well, it comes to committee assignments. They have Democrats now leading the committee assignments. And Dustin Burrows' loyalty is to Democrats. As many of you guys saw when they were redrawing the congressional maps and voting on that, Democrats completely left the state. And we heard all these strongly worded threats. The only one who really meant good on those threats was obviously our Attorney General Greg Abbott. But Ken Paxton. Greg Abbott, on the other hand, our governor, was awful. Said a lot of things, gave us Fox a lot of sound bites, but nothing happened on that front. Dustin Burrows also doing the same as well. So there's a big mess in Texas. People think it's red. It's not red. It's for the taking at this point. And so that, I think, is interesting And I think more people need to wake up to that because Texas is worth saving. And I talk about it all the time. It's a beautiful state, beautiful people. I love it here. I think it's great. And I think it's worth our efforts to save it. And that's what I look forward to doing. But when it comes to political violence and going to these protests, you know, I know we protest peacefully. It's whether or not these left-wing NGO groups are going to send in their agitators and stir things up. It's whether or not, you know, we just played the video of the memorial service that was for Charlie Kirk. People are just sitting there praying and paying their respects to Charlie Kirk. And this 19-year-old just runs right in there. This is the Fox footage that they posted. I mean, that is absolutely egregious. But it's how do you stay peaceful when something like that happens? It's very hard. It's very, very hard.
And I saw Joe Biggs has retired from Oath Keepers.
Oh.
Yeah, over the weekend. You know, and their whole purpose, right? I know it came from a joke, but whatever. But their whole purpose was to be there to protect us. And believe me, I was downtown L.A. And there were a few hundred of us. And Antifa was not there when we arrived, but they started arriving. My husband had a stroke years ago, and so I was leaving. I was leaving because of him. Right, I'm not afraid. I'm 5'10". I'm 65, but I'm not afraid of that stuff. But I'm like Alex Jones. You just start hitting them quick, fast, in a hurry. They're cowards. They are cowards. But they were starting to come in, right? And we have to have some kind of defensive system. Now, I love InfoWars. I'm sorry to see what happened, the mentality of Owen. But he was a big one in saying, don't gather anymore. And that's wrong. If we don't gather, then they have no idea, right, how many of us there really are. You can't tell that by X. My kids aren't on X. I am. My kids aren't. They're just like me. You know, we're all still crying over Charlie Kirk. But we have to figure out how to lead us like they did in the UK. If you've been following Tommy Robinson, you know. The English were against him 10 years ago. He could only get small groups, and now we have 3 million. Well, we had over a million people in Washington, D.C., but we need a million Texans to show up at Texas Ledge. You know, Brian Harrison is the only one that I see speaking out, right, on our behalf. And somehow we need to gather with him, InfoWars. We cannot just sit and listen to X. And I believe me, I drive 5 days a week up and down the 35. I've only been here just under 3 years, and all I listen to is InfoWars. And then in the evening, I might listen to something else. But we have to.
Yeah.
We have to figure out how to band together. And they're going to attack us. We just need to be prepared, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not allow it to be hijacked by what we saw on January 6th.
Yeah, we do need to be prepared. And again, I mean, we are the majority. It's just a matter of making these people, forcing them to recognize it. And we will. We'll find creative ways to go about doing this. I think with all of the prayer services that are popping up all around the country, people know that the majority of Americans side with Charlie Kirk and are on the side of sanity. And if they want to win elections, that's going to be the take to go about doing just that. Folks, we are concluding my very first edition of the American Journal. Thank you for joining me. We have a packed program coming your way tomorrow as well. We're working on that. I think it's going to be another enjoyable show. So for now, thank you. And Harrison's taking over.
Go to theoliveshowstore.com. And experience these products like Ultramethylene Blue. It will change your life. It will be so empowering for you. And then you'll be hooked and keep buying it so we can stay on the air and expand, which is my plan in the face of all these globalist attacks. So I'm announcing this on Tuesday, September 9th. We're only running this till next Tuesday. It is a giant, multifaceted sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best medical grade quality out there. The rave reviews are insane. Such good energy, such clarity, such focus. No letdown. 50% off. Same thing for the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the detox, super empowering system for your cardiovascular system. Ultimate Life Force. Everybody should be taking this. It's the best formula out there, made from the two top best-selling formulas fused together. You need it. It is amazing. Just get it. Know you're supporting the broadcast so you can't lose, and then you'll be pleasantly invigorated, not surprised, I don't BS, when you get great benefits. But what you really feel quick and see the fastest is Bill's Methylene Blue. There's also another big sale going until next Tuesday. That's the Get Free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. When you spend $75 or more at checkout, $10 is taken off. So if you spend $75, when you check out, it's $65 on top of all the discounts. 25% off store-wide, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. The ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it. That's 25% off, and then $10 off at checkout on top of that. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates to keep this broadcast on the air. I don't own it, so they shut down InfoWars. That's our sponsor with the Alex Jones Network and what comes after. So we need the funds. They're incredible products. The only way you fail is not taking action. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.